Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jasa Sagonige, a seventh great grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. Folks, the scriptures say my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look. OCO, Ginalii, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
Well, hello everybody, this is your old buddy Blue Otter coming to you from Booker County,
and Mysterious Ozarks in Mid-America. And our honored guest this week is Shoshone Elder Benny E. LeBeau Sr. His website is at www.teton-rainbows.com. And on behalf of the entire Prophecy Keepers family, we'd like to give you our condolences in the recent loss of your daughter. I know she's going to be missed. So welcome to the show, Benny. How are you today?
Oh, I'm pretty good. Getting over a slight cold, but other than that, great.
Well, I know last year a lot of folks got announcements about your Grand Teton Medicine Wheel that you were organizing, and so in light of what's gone on in the media, you know, with regards to Yellowstone, wherever you'd like to, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself and what put you on this road, and just go ahead and, you know, talk about whatever you'd like to talk about.
Well, I'm 54 years old, and I'm from the Wind River Indian Reservation in the center of Wyoming, in the Wind River Mountain Range, and I was raised on a reservation, born on a reservation in 1950, and I've lived there all my life until I went to Vietnam in 1970 and came back in 1974. And then I came back to the reservation. As a young boy, I'd been having many visitations by little people, call them the Ninibia, different spiritual entities on the river, the fairies and Bigfoot and other things that visited me when I was a young boy. And because of things that's gone on the reservations, it's very hard for us to stay in a good, loving, caring way as being young and then coming into, adulthood through the young years and then teenage and so on and so forth as teenagers. But I began to become very angry and hurt at certain ages because of what was going on with the people. And I lost all track of what I was being told at that time by the dwarfs, the little people. And at that time, they told me I had a very important job to do when I had got older. But I had forgotten until a few years back, and then I began to remember. I've been involved within our Sundances and watched them ever since I was a young boy, and the ceremonies that was going on, and the people were in loving, caring relationships. More in the 1950s than I could remember that they cared for each other a lot. Came into the 60s, I noticed that the families began to separate, and I wondered what was going on, and I couldn't understand why it had been that way, and cousins weren't close anymore. The uncles and aunties drifted apart. Grandpas and fights were happening in the families, and I thought, man, this is not good. And as a child, it was a loving, caring relationship with the people more than I had ever thought could happen was this turmoil of the people being separated now because of anger and hatred and jealousy and pain and all that they were causing upon one another, and I wondered how it would ever end. And then I looked at all of our children, similar to my age group, who I grew up with, say around 30 people. And I used to be in the mountains a lot. And so when I came back after Vietnam, the people I knew, many of us went to the mountains. We hunted and fished and stayed in the high country above Fort Washakie on our reservation here in Wyoming, and hunted and fished and trapped, and was liked staying up there with all of our friends. But out of those 30 friends over the years, there's probably four of them left. Most of them passed away because of suicides, car wrecks, murder, many things have taken place with them, and there's only a few left. And then I began starting having more dreams and visions, and I tried to stay in peace with myself and go into the Sundances. But then I had fallen into many dark places and anger and hatred myself, and began to fall into alcoholism and the drugs and things. So then I didn't want to stick around on the land, so I wanted to leave this planet like many of my other people were leaving. that I could never die. And I thought, what's wrong? And then one time I had got so upset, I went out and cursed God, the Creator, everything I had understood that was supposed to be that realm. And that night I had an experience after I came back in on a full moon, and these messengers arrived. And since that time, I started getting many dreams and visions, and then my life changed because I was at the end of my rope, I figured, and there was no hope because of the anger and the hatred I'd seen on my reservation. And then things began to come and talk to me, and so I started having dreams, like I said, and then I, in the Sundance, one time I had this dream in the Sundance of about many Sundances taking place at once. And in the center was one, and then around the outside in a circle, a long distance out, there was other circles, looks like Sundance lodges, I thought that they were. And at that time, when this vision and this dream came to me, I was laying outside of the Sundance Lodge, and there were many people laying all over the place, sleeping behind sagebrush. And as I was looking at the people, this great big tall spirit came, this giant, and he was bothering the people, and he was picking them up, slapping them around, and just doing awful things to them. So when it came to me, I asked him why he was doing that, and he said, because I can, and I can do whatever I want. And I said, you can't do that to the people. You leave them alone. And he said, so he grabbed hold of me and picked me up by my feet and held me way up in the air in my dream. And I looked at him. I said, you're not even a man. You're nothing. And so I reached down between his legs to try to do something to him to get loose from him. And he didn't have any sex organs or anything like that. So I told him, see, you're not even real. When I said that, he dropped me, and I started falling towards the earth head first, and I thought, I'm going to probably break my neck on the way down. I was falling, and before I hit the ground, I turned into an eagle, and I flew way up into the sky and looked down. When I looked down, I seen a great big huge medicine well with one Sundance in the middle. Then I saw around in a circle for a long distance was other Sundance in a medicine well circle, and then circles. And then I flew into the mountains where I used to go, and I sat by this waterfall and the stream, and then as an eagle, I started to bend over down into the water and get a drink, and then I woke up in Sundance. I wondered, what was this all about? So I went to my medicine people, asked them what I had seen and what this was about, because I didn't understand it, and they didn't know either, and they couldn't tell me. And I said, I guess the time's not right. I guess sometime in the future you'll know. So what it was later, so that was in the 70s, late 70s. And I continued to do more dancing, and there was lots of problems on a reservation. And eventually I had another dream. I had been asked to be a sub-chief in our Sundances by one of our Sundance chiefs on a reservation, so I started helping him for 5 to 7 years in between there, and helping him as a sub-chief in Sundance. So then I started having more dreams again, started coming in, and I got a dream that came from the Grand Tetons, which was our sacred sites, and had been taken away from us, and was now under the control of the Grand Teton National Park. And at that time, the spirit came to me and his grandfather and asked and showed me that there was lots of problems in the mountains in the area all around there, that they wanted me to give a message to my Sundance leader that there was needed to be a Sundance there, and to vibrate and to pray for the animals and the ancestors. The burials were being found and dug up, and they needed some help in the mountains and the rocks and the trees and rivers and the lakes, and they needed a great healing and a prayer for those mountains. And so those mountains have names in the Shoshone language here, with the people who live in the area, with the Bannocks, Shoshone Bannocks, and the Eastern Shoshones, and the Shoshones as a whole. And so now they were calling for the Sundance. So in 1999, I had this dream, and I called him. He was visiting with some people in Texas at the time, and I mentioned to him about what I dreamt about. So he said he would think about that. And so then he called me back a week later and says, okay, I think this is a good vision in a dream in the mountains, and those things need help. And the spirits have called upon us to do a great ceremony to help them heal up there and to help the area and bring it back into harmony. So we began on that journey, and so we went to the Grand Teton National Park. They wouldn't allow us to use the lands. They allowed us to go in and pray and that kind of thing, but they would never allow us to do ceremonies because we couldn't cut trees and do things like that and have our sweat lodge ceremonies in the National Grand Teton National Park or Yellowstone National Park. So we called some meetings together with the Tribal Business Council, the Shoshone Tribal Business Council at that time, in the year 2000, in early January, and called in the Grand Teton National Park and park officials, and they were saying that they needed the okay from the business councils to give the okay for us to go do what we're doing. And the business councils were not in a great form of helping us at that time because of this vision and dream. And they were asking, well, why are you leaving the reservation? We have everything here at this time. And so they knew that at this time, in 1934, through the Indian Reorganization Act, that before that time period, the traditional government were the spiritual leaders who kept things under control, and they worked through the traditional ways of keeping people educated in our cultures and traditions to have peace. But now that this new Indian Reorganization Act was coming in to have like a mini United States government type thing controlling our people now, and they came up with the business council, the traditional leaders had put into effect those bylaws and guidelines saying that when it came to doing anything with the spiritual ceremonies, culture, and traditions, that they had no say-so in those things. And it would be up to the traditional peoples who were doing the ceremonies to make those decisions. And the business councils had no power to either say yes or no to anything because they foresaw that down the road that they would not be in the ceremonies. And so they had been given those messages and visions at that time because what was going to take place in the future is what's going on now. The business councils have turned into be Christianity. So they're the Jehovah Witnesses, they're the Mormons, they're the Catholics, Episcopalians. Some of them don't have any belief in anything. And so through that, they would go against the traditional peoples who were doing their ceremonies, and it would go away and it would be taken out of the tribal nations. And so now it came into play that the national parks wanted the people of the reservation, the business council, and the people to come together to make a decision saying yes to us allowing us to have the Sundance in the Grand Teton National Park. And when they came, we talked with the business council, and the business council told them that they could not make a decision like that because of what I just mentioned. And so the national park left. So then in the regulations and that they have in the national park says that they will help promote our culture so it wouldn't disappear. But the Grand Tetons was in our treaty saying it was unoccupied lands and they would hold it in trust for us. But through the history, it was taken away from us and adopted by Rockefeller. He bought that land and many other places up there. And now he sold it to the United States for a national park. So therefore, because of those things, we haven't been able to get into the national park to do our ceremonies. And then the next business council comes in. We're getting ready to do another Sundance, and then they come back down and say, we have to have an okay to do a Sundance. But what we've been pushed out of the national park, I forgot to mention, was that we had to go into the Bridger Teton National Forest to do our Sundance now, which was off the edge of the national park by the river up there, the Snake River, Yellowstone Park, and down through the Grand Teton Park is a huge river that runs through there. So we were pushed on the other side of that river, and now we had to go a long distance away, and that's the only place that we could use the areas for a Sundance was in the multiple use areas of the Forest Service. So they allowed us to do that in the year 2000. So we had a hard time with the hate groups that persecuted and many other places that we had been to, now we were kind of in the crossfire between that with the business council. People didn't understand what was going on up there, so they did not want to help support us. But we did the Sundance anyway. People came, and we did that. So we continued to do that. So every year came, we had persecutions by outside hate groups. We had pressure by the Bridge of Teton National Forest through regulations. You couldn't cut trees. We couldn't do this, couldn't do that. We had to have toilets. We had to bear certain trash containers that were bear-proof. And so it turned into a great big huge amount of money had to be paid in order to do the Sundances. And every regulation said we had to have something that we didn't have, and what we had to get then would cost lots of money. So it was almost like pushing us out of the areas because our tribe didn't want to support us. So we had to do the best we could, so we did it on donations. So we went through that. And at that time, the mountains were speaking in the Sundance, and we were trying to do the best we could. So for 3 years, we went through that. And then, so when 2003 came, I had been asked by my elders now to go to college in 1997 to study the cultures in college and what they were teaching and why they were not listening to us as indigenous peoples, as Shoshones and other tribal nations. So at that time I was 47 years old, and that was 1997. So I didn't want to go, and I wanted to stay home because I was already walking with my teacher, my brother, and I was learning a lot of things in nature, and we were doing ceremonies in the rock art in the petroglyphs, and they were talking about our ceremonies, the past, how things worked with the earth, and was beginning to gather great information, and I was really loving it and thought, oh, this is what I've been looking for all my life, and you know, and this is just taking me out of my suicidal thoughts, my sadness and drinking and partying and all those things I was going through. It was like all of my other brothers and sisters on the reservations.
Well, Benny, let's take a short break, and then we'll talk about that a little bit further, okay? Hang on just one second, folks. We'll be right back.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
And so when we fell from our teachings and our knowledges of being respectful towards one another and knowing that we were told, if we're going to cook the food, whoever was cooking the food, the women, or anyone for that matter, that their thoughts were to be of love, peace, and harmony, and praying and blessing the food constantly as they were cooking it. If they didn't do that and they had anger and they were mad and upset because something happened, that food turned to those because of the thoughts. And that's how powerful the thoughts were. So our indigenous peoples knew these things of the past. And we had been given these original instructions of how this energy worked. And that was because of the sacred sites that held that electrical magnetic energy. and getting into to doing these kinds of works now was what I was sent to college to understand and study them and try to begin to understand why and what was being taught there, and to come back and talk to my elders and tell them what I found and what I seen and what I saw there and what I had heard. So when I came back and told them, they did not like what I said, what I had told. Come back and reported that in the colleges and the most of the education systems there's nothing there to help support, protect the earth. They have ecology programs, but they're still not up to par to help them protect the earth, and there's no information there that tells us what happens when we're destroying the earth with mining and development and all the other things. And so through that, we were sending our children into an area that was taken away from the reservation. And besides that, when they came back to the reservation with the education, the things they got, there was very few jobs for them to support our people on reservation. And that was through the Bureau of Indian Affairs, which was another entity that was teaching mining, development, so on and so forth, to the sacred sites. And then the tribal government, and they were supporting mining, oil, and so forth too. And so there was a very few jobs. But because of the education now, because of the traditional knowledges and the wisdom of the earth, it was being taken away from our people who were being sent into colleges to come back to support the Bureau of Indian Affairs and the tribal business councils. Because now it's a mini United States government, and they were starting to take the people and train them and brainwash them into another society to destroy the earth. And the wisdoms and the things that was there, it was starting to disappear. Now, there were some programs that was trying to help it, but the other power was coming in and overrunning it. And now, within these systems, within the traditional government of the traditional leaders, that was set in motion to keep this wisdom aware, to keep things working, was being separated, and they were not even being asked at all to help bring in the messages and the wisdom of how the earth worked. And I told them that, and so they became upset. That can't be. It was a hard thing for me to talk to them and tell them that, and they disagreed with me. We were told to get educated. I said, yes, we're told to get educated, but we're being educated and we come back. The education is going towards developing and mining and doing all these other things and not helping us one bit. It's taken away from the earth. So we have droughts up here. We're starting to have tornadoes now, and the earth's quakes and other things. And so in Yellowstone, these things were beginning to happen because of the dream of 1999 that the mountains needed help up in the Grand Tetons in the Yellowstone area. They were talking about the development and the vibration and the things that was going on in the Grand Tetons and the Yellowstone National Park around Yellowstone Lake, because now there was a caldera, a big bubble, like a cone coming up out of the bottom of the lake and rising 10 stories tall. There was poisonous gases coming out around the edge of the lake. The trees were dying, the grasses were dying, the water was getting hot, and the fish were dying in the lake. The animals were beginning to leave the park too because of the vibration of hundreds and hundreds of earthquake action that was taking place in 2003 going into 2004. And so in 2003 I was in Flagstaff, Arizona, 2002-2003 at the Northern Arizona University studying cultural anthropology and applied indigenous studies, and I was almost ready to get my degree when the spirits came to me and said time was short again, and that I had to leave college and get out of there. I had learned enough lies and these things, and I had to leave. And I told them, no, I'm almost done to get my degree. Fuck with no, I'll never get my degree. I said, the degrees aren't going to count in the future. It's not going to be worth anything, even what's on the paper. I said, I don't think so. I'm going to go against what you're saying. I'm going to get done with my degree. And they said, no, you're not. We will not let you rest. You're to leave and go into the canyon, back into the rock art, and into the canyons and the valleys and the deserts, and learn what is in the true college of the earth, is the earth wisdom is waiting there for you and for you to go. And I said, I'm going to get my degree, then I'll go. And they said, no, time is short. You got to go now. I didn't listen. So when I was in the classrooms, those spiritual entities came in and bothered me and would not let me concentrate on what I was supposed to get and write down so I could get my degree, and then I could say, well, I got my degree now, I can do this and do that and say all these other things. Well, they wouldn't let me rest. I went to the library to study the books, to do the reports they wanted, and they wouldn't allow me to really meditate or to gather the information I needed. Then when I went back to my room or my apartment and dorm rooms, they kept me awake all night. So eventually my grades went down because I was so tired. Eventually I said, okay.
They danced around your bed.
So I left. Then I went into the valleys and the canyons in Arizona, around Flagstaff, around the springs. And around the springs were a lot of rock art writings. So through there they told me where to go to these areas and to do ceremonies and to understand circles. So they taught me about the medicine hole ceremony that now was coming into effect. Was the same similar thing that we were already doing called the Sundance. It was a huge medicine wheel that we erect. And now was the time of the womb springs have been, or like the breaking of the waters where life comes from through mother. It's like a baby's being born through a woman. The water breaks and then the baby comes to life. And comes into birth. And so now the water springs is the womb springs. It's like the breaking of the sacred water coming from the woman. And it gives us life there and is rebirthing all the time. And what's happening in those womb springs is they're being raped. And so in those springs I went to, they had metal pipes stuck into those springs, plastic PCV pipes. They were putting back holes, gouging those areas, and are also dynamiting them places and blowing up the womb of Mother Earth. And that alone disconnected the electrical magnetic energy that connects to the water, because water is real sensitive to electricity, and that electricity is what we have. And then when that takes place, it disconnects electrical energy, and then the heartbeat lowers in the area. And then when there's no electrical energy and there's no heartbeat, it's like a man or a woman dies, and they have to take the two electrical, you know, those components and put it on their chest and shock them back into life. And that's what they were saying that these areas needed, because when the man or woman gets shocked with that electrical shock, it resets the heart, and then the heart pumps, and the electricity goes back into the nerves, which is the wiring system for the body to carry the electrical charge to the body to allow the water or the blood to pump through the body. And now they were showing me that, and that those areas were low on energy and the heartbeat was low because of mining and development. Around the areas, they cut highways and roads and pipelines and et cetera, oil lines, gas lines, all those kinds, et cetera, all that kind of development. And it was destroying the electrical magnetic energy on the surface, which meant they were destroying the web of life. And that web of life was electrical magnetic energy lines known as ley lines. And those ley lines were being cut in half. And when they cut one in half, that meant the electrical circuiting of grandmother's spider's web of life. Around the earth, there's those energy lines, and they connect to the sacred sites in lines. And so everything is connected and works together in oneness. But now what was happening was the oneness was being disconnected, and every time they cut one of the electrical energy lines in half or did something to the springs, the electrical energy was now leaving. The electrical energy in the area that's connected allows the springs to run, like I mentioned, and also the rain to fall there. When the energy is disconnected there, the rain just passes over the areas, which means droughts, because they destroy the sacred site. And those sacred sites are where there's gold, silver, clay, and all that, and other minerals, copper, zinc, you name it, is out there. And in those areas, it's which holds the ley lines together. And when they develop from them, there's spirals that come out from the atmosphere of above us and connects to those, and that's electrical energy of the spiral. It connects to the places. When they drill for oil or they cut holes into the earth and take those metals and precious jewels like diamonds, rubies, you name it, out of the earth, it disconnects electrical magnetic energy in that place. That energy that's there is electrical, and it disappears. And then those spirals that are once there disconnected, they wave above the earth. And that's the weather patterns that are changing. They're going back and forth. The animals are flying different directions. They don't know which way they're going because they're going erratic, because those energy lines are now moving, and the spirals are up there flopping loose. It's like an electrical energy line that high wire line, that's the line gets broken, the energy that runs through that electrical line that comes to her house spirals through that electrical line. Once it's broken, that line will fall down and hit the ground, and it will jump all over the place because it's got a spiral spinning through it. It means electrical energy. If it's trying to connect to the one that broke from, if it touches it, then it will stop jumping. So it's like the same thing. So similar when we take down a mountain peak, for instance, with telescopes, observatories, which shave the top of that peak off, that spiral disconnection there waves like that electrical energy line and moves. So now when about 20 and 30, 40 and 50 and 100 or 1,000 of those places are disturbed in the area, that electrical energy that's like the electrical energy line is sparking, jumping around, now sparks in the clouds. And then that, out of that cloud will come rain and hail. Then out of that will follow that will be a tornado spiraling down. All those spirals will tune together, come together and be one. And now they'll hunt on the earth looking for the electrical node point known as the sacred site. And then it becomes destroyed. It'll destroy anything that's there, in other words, churches, houses, anything that's there, trailer parks, etc., like in Tornado Alley. So that's what's happened in the sacred sites. And the droughts are being made because of development. And that's what they showed me in the rock art and the petroglyphs. And that's what I was being showed now, was that education of the earth and those things in Arizona. So I went in a big, huge circle, and they told me to do a certain ceremony in these areas, and so I did that. And so I repaired those places. And so in 2003, I went and did that in June of 2003 and repaired those places. And the last place I went to was in Page, Arizona, at the dam there, and did the last one that they wanted me to do. And at that time I saw the energy shoot from the holy ones, came from the heavens and electrified all of those places I'd been and charged them. And then the lightning, the thunder and the clouds came, and then it rained from June until September of 2003 and filled up all the reservoirs in the area there, because of the ceremonies they had taught me was to go into those areas around in the Hopi lands and the Navajo lands. And I did the prayers on those places. And out there, the indigenous nations are not out into the lands doing the work that they had once did anymore, because they're in turmoil and fighting who's right, who's wrong. And that's what the Spirit said. But now is the time that no one's right and wrong. It's that the people have lost their wisdom because of anger and hatred of pointing who's right and who's wrong. And that the message had to go to the tribes now. And I was to go into a huge medicine hole ceremony now that was to be 1,200 miles north and south and 1,200 miles east and west. And the Grand Tetons was the center, in the middle, because of the volcano. And if we would do these things all together, and the Spirit said, talk to the people, tell the people that the white people are not going away, neither are the black people or the red people or the yellow nations either, that they're never all going away, because they're all going to be together now. They're to be brothers and sisters, and Mother Earth is calling them back together to come to the sacred sites, 19 of them in the area. On the west was the mountains, and on the east was the rivers. And so I traveled in the end of 2003 now into September, October, November was coming, and they told me it was time to move and travel to the indigenous nations. And around those indigenous nations in the sacred sites was to talk to them and ask them to come sit on their sacred mountains and do ceremonies and repair those mountains and recharge them like a dead man with electrical charge, and restore the energy, the heartbeat to those mountains, and get them ready for a medicine well ceremony on May 8th of 2004. And this was in September of 2003. But when I came back home and told my people I wasn't going back to college, they were upset that I was quitting, and the tribal people too. I said, where'd you get all this stuff? I said, dreams. And they were coming saying these things, and we needed help. So I went to my people on our Indian reservation here, and they didn't believe me. They didn't want to help. And most every reservation I went to didn't want to help. There was a handful of tribal nations who helped on those 19 places, but 3/4 of the people that came were the white people. And they were having the same dreams and visions similar to what I was. And even people in England, Australia, Japan, Africa were sending me emails now, because I'd sent out a message on the harmonic concordance in November that this thing was happening, and I heard about that. So I got in touch with some people, and I sent them a message about what was going on in Yellowstone, and my dream and the vision was for the people to come together. So they sent out messages. And so I went on my journey now, traveling in that huge circle, and had hardly any money. But people started sending donations. And so finally, by about May 1st of 2004, I finally finished the last one, which was in Arizona, in Flagstaff. That was the very last one to do. And I, at that time, I ran into a man called Dr. Emoto, who was doing a talk there about the spirit of the water on the mesas in Hopi, and that the water had on them in the springs had no spirit. Dr. Emoto has much stuff out, talks about messages from water and things, and so the electrical energy is not in the water, it's dead, and when it's charged with their mind and their thoughts, and it turns back into purity and turns back into crystal shapes. So I talked to him, and at that time the Hopis were with him. And that was, when I first went there, that was April, my first stop. And now I was there towards the end of May, and so he was there again. And I talked to the Hopis and asked them if they could come help, and they said, no, we couldn't do that. So again, we used this area called Hopi Springs, which is now in control of the forest. And the Hopis and other people very seldom go there, and it's kind of like a tourism place where people travel and go in there. And that spring became dry and had a big pipe stuck into it. And so that was the last one we did, and because of what happened on the lands of cutting and dissecting the land and crisscrossing in Hopi lands, they're doing the same thing out there and destroying the electrical magnetic energy. And I tried to talk about these things, tribes didn't want to listen. They thought, who am I? What are you? What are you trying to do? I said, there's a volcano in Yellowstone and it's ready to erupt. And the scientists are saying if it explodes, it'll be 200 times the size of what Mount St. Helens is, they're saying. It's a super, super volcano. And so there was hundreds and hundreds of earthquakes taking place from January of 2003 going into May of 2004.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Bluehour speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
Now we're back.
So now that this activity was so evident in the national park, and because of my dream back in the early or the late 70s, I talked about seeing this big huge circle coming together of a Sundance in the middle, and I thought on the outside was many other Sundances, which maybe that still is, but to me it was now, I imaged it and saw it again in my mind, and it was this medicine hall ceremony that was now coming forth. So I had seen this image of a huge thing that was put on the earth, and it was a stargate. And so this, they say, what's above is below. So the star systems connect to the mountains and the mountain peaks in the different areas of the sacred sites. And so what's below is above. So that's the connection to the stars that we have. And so then I began to get more messages, looking at rock art, petroglyphs, and beginning to understand that there was more to this information than what I really understood. And and more things are coming into effect. So I was visiting with many cultures of the indigenous nations and other peoples in the areas of their spiritualities, and that was the same thing that we have, from the Tibetans to the Egyptians to Buddhism and now into Shintoism and other places, which had the same information that I was talking about. And we once all had these knowledges and wisdoms, and now it was important for me to see that we were all had this understanding, but now we had fell from our wisdom and were being taken out by education, and that education needed to understand the importance of the sacred sites. So a senator came to our CWC, Central Wyoming College, here on a reservation, and once I asked him about what was wrong, why didn't they want to listen to indigenous nations about sacred sites, and he says, this is information to me, that until the tribal nations come together in peace and can come up to an interpretation of what a sacred site is and what it means and what happens when it's developed and those things, and none of the tribal nations can do that right now because they have no text or nothing in writing to show that, no proof, and even speak about it. All they say is, protect the sacred sites. And they say, protect the sacred sites because there's burials or altars. Well, that's not good enough for them. They want to know what happens and why it's important to protect the sacred sites. And they could never give that information. And besides that, there was 500 now federally recognized tribes, and they were all fighting each other until they come into... To come up with one interpretation of what sacred sites was and what was interpreted to be sacred, then they would listen. But until those tribes quit fighting, they would not pay any attention to them. And in the Constitution, it says they have a right to prosperity, and the earth was put here at their disposal to use for riches. And that's what they would do. And the tribes could do nothing about it until they come into one interpretation. That meant that they're all fighting, and they're fighting over 500 different interpretations of what sacred sites are about. And that's exactly what's taking place because of who's right and who's wrong. And that's what was said in my dream and my vision, was that because of this, what's going on with the tribes, it's the same thing that they all have, but they forgot the importance of what sacred sites really mean.
Well, let me ask you a question here. You said their constitution said that they had the right to happiness, and that they believed that they had the right to develop the earth and so forth. Now, was that the religious belief of the white peoples? Is that what you're saying? Because
it's in the Constitution. It says they have the right to prosperity in the United States. That means you could do anything you want to do to become rich.
Oh.
Or prosperity. That means you can go out, buy land, do this, do that, and everything we get in America comes from the land, and you have to own the land in order to get the resources out of the land, and so. By doing that, that gives the people the power to pillage and rape Mother Earth.
Well, next time one of them brings that up, you might mention to them that the laws of the United States and of Britain are based on the Holy Bible, and the Holy Bible says that the time will come that it's time to kill those who are killing the Earth.
Well, the time of these prophecies and the vision says that we will stay in peace, and Mother Earth and the Creator God will take care of those things, and it's happening now.
Yep.
And so we were to stay in peace and not bring sword upon word upon word, bickering and fighting to each other is like two swords striking, and the fight would continue. Until we stop doing those things and stay in peace and come to the understanding what sacred sites are about, and the sacredness and using thought forms and being in peace, then those who did that would inherit the earth through the prophecies and the visions. Only those who would do those things at this time of the powerful end of the 2012 coming, and the end of this world, of this time period, but the earth is not going to be destroyed. The earth will always be here, but man will not be if they continue to do what they're doing. Only those who stay in peace will be here. So people go on and talk about this thing that's happening. So now... You know, we're going into another area, and I don't want to go there because I'm not done talking about this other thing. So because of what the senator had said, set me off to find out what sacred sites were about and learn how they worked, what they were about, and how the electrical magnetic energy that works there is the same energy we have. And so the energy is a matrix in the oxygen in the air we walk through every day, walking across the surface of the earth, and electrical energy on the surface of the planet, goes into our feet, and then we're touched by Mother with electrical energy in our feet, and then electrical energy going into the top of our head. We're like little bumper cars in a circus or a carnival that zooms back and forth. So now what's happening, we're just connecting electrical energy on the surface and making dead zones that was making the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the earthquakes, the tsunamis, and so on and so forth, was because of bad sound and bad vibration. Those things are now taking place and in effect. And so, with these kinds of knowledges that was being given to me, I begin to see the importance that Mother Earth was in the center of a sat of a like a nucleus. So it's like the egg of a woman in her ovaries. The electrical energy comes down and spirals into the egg, and then when the baby is formed in that nucleus and it starts splitting and forming, it turns into a spiral. Everything is based on a spiral. And so that spiral is what is connected to the sacred sites, and that spiral goes down to the top of our head, which is called DNA, and goes through our vertebrae down to the tailbone. Then our body forms around it, and the bones and everything else is made and formed. And so those things is what keeps us in to be on Mother Earth. And we're formed, and we're sent here as electrical energy, a spark, through sexuality, and then we came into being through the woman, because of the vibration through sexuality. And so through those things, we came in. It's all about vibration, sound, and colors.
That's right.
And so now those colors and the sound and the vibration is what is being taken from the earth and taken out of harmony. Everything that's in harmony is vibrating with a certain pitch and a sound, and everything is vibrating together. But when a bulldozer goes in there, or a tank, or bad noise, and scrapes the earth like a bulldozer or a tank shooting a missile and blowing things up, takes things out of balance, takes out of harmony. So now all that sound was taking place in Yellowstone, and what happened in Yellowstone National Park was because of these highways and roads and mining and development in certain areas in the past had taken place, it was shaking the earth. And Yellowstone is the lungs of Mother Earth. So when she breathes, the geysers go up like Old Faithful. When they come back down, she inhales in. And then when she exhales, the geysers go up all over that country up there. But now, since the vibration was taking place, what I begin to notice in 2000 was that the water was changing in Yellowstone, because I've been visiting and watching and studying the earth there, and it was drying up. And the steam was not coming out in a lot of the places like it was, because the vibration was now shaking the earth and was sealing the geysers underneath the surface of the planet. And that caldera was rising. And why was it rising? Because the cracks had sealed, and now the pressure underneath was being pressurized because the cracks sealed, and there was going to be a huge explosion. There were many people on a reservation having dreams and visions about this and around the world, and they were coming to me, and even my own people, my daughter who had just passed away in a car accident just a few days ago, she was one of the main ones who was having a lot of dreams talking about this and giving this information to me along with other people in my own dreams, and so it was so evident. And they were saying that there was going to be cracks open on our reservation, and poisonous gases were going to come out, and the winds were going to blow it down on the people, and they would die from the gas alone. Many things were taking place, but these were prophecies forecasting what was going to happen if we didn't do something. So it's saying, a prophecy, here's a dream, this is going to happen. If you continue to do this, this will happen. But if you continue not to do that, then that won't happen. So through the prophecies of the people of the world hear these things, they think that they're going to happen, so they say, well, it's going to happen anyway, so I'm just going to do whatever I'm going to do, have fun, raise hell, don't worry about it, and just do the worst they can, for instance, and party and get drunk. And
eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die.
Yeah, that's it. That's what they believe in, because they think that that's going to happen. Well, it's those thought forms brings those things into play and will make it happen. And we're saying for our people not to think like that. Quit doing these kinds of things that's causing that, called development, mining, war, that kind of sound. And so what's happening on the other side of Yellowstone Lake, on the other side of the world, is the Caspian Sea. And the Caspian Sea, salt water, and Yellowstone Lake is fresh water. The vibration took place in Yellowstone because of the roads that cut into the granite hillsides, and they blew them up with dynamite and vibrated it, and then they put all the buildings and houses and highways and so on so forth, and et cetera, et cetera. That vibration alone, with all of the thousands and thousands of cars now sitting on that blacktop, vibrating every year, and shaking it and shaking it, seals the cracks of the geysers. And then during the winter, they send in the worst vibration of all is the snow machine.
Mm.
And the snow machines are shaking the earth, and all that kind of vibration is not needed in a very sacred site that is not to be bothered and left alone, because it's the lungs, and if it seals, it will explode. And I was being told that we had to do a acupuncture ceremony called a medicine wheel ceremony. 19 sacred sites around the Grand Tetons, which means 600 miles to the north, 600 miles to the east, 600 miles south, and 600 miles west. So that meant 1,200 miles north and south, 1,200 east and west. And so when I went to them people, we got together, and many people went to those places. And even around the world, people were sitting in many places. And on that day, we vibrated the earth for 24 hours, starting with the morning star. And so when we did all of these things, this came into play. And so there was Mount Taylor, there was Mount Whitney, San Francisco Peaks, and then the rivers on the east side of the wheel. Went all the way up into Canada. And so people in Canada and everywhere. And so it was Arizona, Nevada, California, Oregon, Washington, and then up into Canada, and back down around into the United States again, into North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, and Kansas. And right through those areas is the circle. And when we vibrated the earth for 24 hours, the scientists were keeping track with their seismic equipment and scientific equipment, and measured all those things. On May 8th, with their gauges and the things that they had, it showed that the volcano went to sleep and slowed down its activity, and the earthquake stopped in Yellowstone National Park. On June 3rd of 2004, right after the May 8th ceremony, they were having a meeting in Mammoth Hot Springs in Yellowstone National Park, and they were inviting the indigenous nations from the area now to come for a consultation, because they were getting ready to do more development, and it needed the indigenous nations to sign off on what they're going to do. Like, they're going to develop certain areas in the national park for new visitor centers, or new houses need to be built, or roads needed to be rebuilt. So they have to call the Native Americans in to make sure they don't go through a burial site or a sacred site. And so what I understand is those representatives there are not very well trained enough to understand sacred sites. So I went to see what they were going to talk about when I was there. They were wanting to get the okay from the indigenous nations in the area around Yellowstone National Park, which means Montana, Idaho, Colorado, South Dakota, and in the area, the region, had arrived there. And they were signing off. And the park was saying, well, we won't do this sacred site over here and develop it. If you go ahead and sign off on this, and you can go ahead and develop over here, we can do this, we can do that. And they were signing off. And I mentioned that we shouldn't sign off on anything. And he said, well, you're not a representative. So, well, I just came and did a ceremony over here with many of our people. And when we came together, we put the earth back together in sacred sound and vibration and repaired it, because of all that's being talked about here is development and doing these things. And we need to look at this and talk about this, and we have to retrain the national parks about what's going on and why this development is taking place and causing this place to blow up over here. We just did this thing and stopped this volcano. Then one of the tribal members of my reservation gets up and says, who do you think you are, Jesus Christ? If the Creator says there's going to be a volcano, there's going to be a volcano about it. And I said, it's not that. And in the many messages it says, prayers can move the mountains. And because of this dream and vision, it came. People who came together and did a sacred sound and vibration through a medicine wheel ceremony, and following their dreams and visions is what we were to do within our indigenous nations. And I came to all of you here in this room and asked you and your tribal nations to help, but none of you came. But now this is the message. And now I'm here again to speak. That it's not anger and hate that I'm saying, pointing fingers. What I'm saying is we have forgotten to understand Mother Earth and understand how she works. And she's calling upon us with dreams and visions. And now our people are so angry and hateful and pointing fingers saying, who's right and who's wrong? And that's what they're telling me, that I'm wrong for doing this because I'm going against everybody's traditions and cultures. And the Creator says, not that. It's that the people have forgotten to come together in peace and do the same ceremony together. It's the same way, but each one does it a little different, but it comes to the same processing and gets it done. And so on June 3rd, when I was there, the scientists were coming with their information, and they put their graphs up on a screen and projected it out, and they showed the earthquakes all the way from January of 2003 into now May 2004. On May 8th of 2004, it showed that the volcano finally lined out and stopped the activity that was once so powerful that they were, well, there could be a powerful explosion. And so that was the dream and the vision of putting this volcano to sleep again, was because of the prayers. And also on the ring of fire that would help alleviate some of those volcanoes in Washington and Oregon and down into California, but they would sputter, but they would not explode. They would implode and go down into the earth instead. But we had to keep working, bringing the information and knowledge about how to bring the rain and the snow and the water back in. And I predicted that the volcano would go away and that the snow and the rain and the waters would come back in once we did the ceremony, and that all happened. And everything that the spirits told me was what they gave me to give to the people. So I was just the messenger, and the people came together. It was they, the people, who did this. I was only the messenger, and we all sat together on that day, and it was a great blessing. And so, you know, I really thank them all for the love that they had for Mother Earth, especially the white people and the black people and the yellow people who came together, and the indigenous nations who helped also. And so the message was that we were to stay into peace and come back into peace. And so, you know, I belong with a group of people called the Spiritual Elders of Mother Earth, and I'm a seed carrier of carrying prophecies. And so at this time, I was out carrying prophecies and messages to the people, and then I started having these dreams.
Well, let's take a little break, and we'll go on from there, alrighty?
Okay. I'll see you. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of wisefoods.org. Our native ancestors stored away lots of food in case of emergencies. Thousands of years of sad experience taught them to be prepared. The traditional Hopi stored food enough to last for 7 years. So did the early Mormons. Nowadays, everyone unwisely depends on supermarkets for their food supply, and few people know that there is only a 3-day supply of food in the American food supply chain. Now, should some disaster befall us that would cause the big trucks like I used to drive to cease delivering our food, you'd be in big trouble. It is for these reasons that my family purchased a year's supply of 3 different breakfast and 10 delicious dinner entrees from wisefoods.org. These foods are freeze-dried right at the field where they are picked and processed, and are fresher and more nutritious than any supermarket food. You just add hot water, and they're good for 25 years being stored. A year's supply from wisefoods.org fits in an area about 4.5 feet by 4 feet by 18 inches. I can literally get it all in the back seat area of my Honda Civic. If you stay at home, you won't need to go to a FEMA refugee center should some disaster happen. Did you know that David Ramsey, David Gallagher, Laura Ingram, and Michael Medved have also invested in Wise Foods? Why don't you visit wisefoods.org today and see why.
Okay, folks, we're back. So go ahead and continue telling us this fascinating story. I know that people are going to absolutely love this.
Well, again, as I mentioned, I've been initiated into a group of people, 30 tribes called the Spiritual Elders of Mother Earth, and it was coming together, they say, and when I first met them, of the condor and the eagle, and coming together like the five fingers of a hand. And the prophecies had mentioned that until the nation of America comes into completeness and the tribes come together in peace and harmony, working together with one prayer, one dream, one vision, to help Turtle Island, which is in the Americas, that floats in the middle of the water, this island that we're living on had to come into a sacred belief again, that all of the people understood how the earth worked, how the problems came, the trauma, and it was no one's fault. But the fault was that we begin to follow some directions and things that have been given to us now that was telling us to destroy the earth, and we had forgotten our original instructions to stay in peace. Because of the electrical energy, magnetic energy coming from the sun, called the solar flares, is being bombarding towards the earth, those electrical grids in New York City and other places were being shut down. So when the electrical energy comes, the animals get hyperactive, and so do the humans. And so the messages and the dreams that were coming now were saying that it was getting close to a time now when Mother Earth was becoming in her cycle. So the 28th cycle of thousands of years now was like a woman on her moon for her 28 days. And so when she releases the flow of her life force, which was the blood within her, the seeds that no longer serve her purpose within her flows from her. And all the illnesses in her blood is picked up in the blood, and then it flows out of her. So she re-cleanses herself and cleans herself through the cycles of life, through the energy of Mother Earth, is the electromagnetic energy that keeps the cycle spinning and revolving within a circle through the 28 days. And so now through the 28,000, you know, the cycles within in the thousands of years, we were in that 28th cycle. And that meant that the emotional life force of the earth is water. And Mother Earth was going to cleanse herself of all of the seeds that no longer serve a purpose, which means repurification time is here. Any seed pod, human being walking on Mother Earth, which is her seeds, because she gave them to who? The woman is a seed carrier. And so all life that we get is from Mother Earth. So she supports all of us because we are her children. And the Father sent us in from above, the Creator, and brought us to the earth through woman and through man. And woman brought us in, and woman is being destroyed by man's negativity on her and put her into what's happened to her today. And she's been knocked around, beat up. The women are hurting the men. So the men are hurting the earth. So now the message was that through this cycle of water, the spirals will begin to work. So when the tsunami came, what happened with those things over in the area that we just saw, where thousands of people died in the India area when that tsunami came, well, then that was the first movement of Mother Earth to really wake us up, to show us that she is in control and she's going to take out the seeds who no longer serve a purpose. There's many who are doing things because they're rich and famous, so they have all these monies. But in that country, the people have been in turmoil. They've been in war for many thousands of years there. And they're in low thought form. I mean, sadness, loneliness, anger, hatred. They got slavery going on, sexual abuse, sex slaves. So you name it over there. And body parts are being sold, and humans are being sold. So therefore, she's going to take that low seeds out of the earth, low vibrational people, and cleanse them. That means she took their lives. And then they sent them back up. Their energy went back to the white light and was restored back up there. Now she's coming with nature. So it's repurification time now. And so because of these natural forces that talks about, Mother Earth is in her cycle now. She's going to clean up the earth. And she will use all the forces that she has in her control and power through Father, the Creator, within the sun, our grandfather. And when those solar flares are coming towards the earth, wherever the electrical energy has been disconnected on the surface of the planet, or a hole has been dug, is where the light is leaking. And the prophecies say that the serpents will wake up underneath the earth, and they will come to the surface, and they will wiggle, coming to the top. When that happens, there will be earthquakes. So where they've built buildings and tore big holes in the ground, is where the light leaks. And when the solar flares and the magnetism of those solar flares pulls towards the earth, the energy underneath where those holes are, where the tall skyscrapers are,
mm-hmm.
and buildings, they will shake like crazy, and all of those buildings will come tumbling down, falling down, and there will be disasters taking place. And these are prophecies of the indigenous nations. Because of the electrical magnetic energy, and every square inch of the earth is sacred because of the electrical magnetic energy. But what has happened, the people have forgotten the cultures and are digging those big holes for the buildings, skyscrapers, or their own houses, or the highways, the railroads, the pipelines, the mining. And wherever those holes are dug is where the light leaks, and when that energy hits, wherever those places are is where there will be powerful earthquakes, tornadoes, volcanoes, floods, etc. is what's going to take place. Until the people begin to understand that we as indigenous nations, before we dug a hole in the earth or did anything, there was a protocol we went through to do these things. So at this time, the dreams and visions are saying that we have to cleanse the whole earth of the negativity that has taken place and seal those places where the light is leaking. So when someone goes and mines an area that has a deep hole, like for uranium and gold and copper, that light is leaking out of the earth, the energy, the electrical energy, and we have to seal those places or we're going to have tornadoes in those areas. So this year we're going to see there's going to be a lot of tornadoes coming in many areas around the country in the United States and elsewhere around the world because of how the earth is being treated and not respected. So Mother Earth is going to wake people up, and a lot of people can perish in many areas. But it's called repurification time. So many people have to leave the planet in order to wake the rest up. But that doesn't mean that they don't get to come back, because they are born forever young. That means their energy goes up. It's all energy, and it just leaves and goes up. But some of them, they're saying, gets to go to the cosmic shredder. They've been so evil they've never learned the lesson, so they're just going to discontinue them. The others can be reborn again in many different lights and colors and ways of coming upon the earth again. So there's many stories that goes on with these prophecies speaking this, and there's many of them, and people are reflecting on them probably as I'm speaking in their own cultures and nations. And this is what I was told to give a message was about when these things begin to come into play now, is understanding if we have a house and we haven't prayed for everything in that house, then we need to pray for it and thank the Creator and Mother Earth for it, and to seal the surface underneath the house, because when this energy comes from the solar flares of the sun, and we haven't did those things and sealed the earth, then that's where we're going to have a disaster. Our houses could burn up, they could fall down, the skyscrapers could fall down, and the prophecies say that people will go crazy in the cities. And this is kind of the situation where we're setting, and saying that we don't do something soon and speak about our indigenous wisdoms and knowledges, that this will take place. But the prophecies say that until the indigenous nations come into peace and work together with one heart, one mind, and work towards the direction of harmony and peace with the earth, that we have to sweep all of the Americas. We got to clean it because of what's happened with our thoughts that went into the trees, our thoughts that went into the soil, our thoughts that went into everything around us. And we were told in the past, if we went to a very sacred place, a peaceful area, when we arrived, they would take no weapons, we wouldn't argue with one another, we would all be in harmony and do that, and be like that in those places to get healing. And we went into the sacred waters to get healed, to cure us from our illnesses, and we got healed there, our people in the past. Then when they left, they picked up the weapons, and then they began to war out there and do those things. And they were never to be into war, but what happened in history was a trauma that happened before the Spaniards came, before, you know, the Spaniards and then the Europeans. And now the Europeans trained us to think like them, and we're forgetting our traditional ways, because the lands have been taken away and put into bondages for mining and development to make money. And it's not understood that it's a sacred lands that we are all to use and work with together and not own it, that the earth owned us. And we're only the caretakers and the ones to watch over those areas. And we're given those areas to live in peace and harmony. So when the Europeans came here, they say in history that, oh, look at these Native American or the indigenous peoples here. They got circles on the ground. Why don't they have carts? Why don't they have all of these inventions? Look, they must be stupid. Well, it wasn't that. It was that they were told never to make these inventions, because what would happen, they would turn into greed, and then they would want to develop inventions and all this and that. Then they would tear up the earth. And what happened? Exactly that. When the Europeans came, and then the other nations came, and then now we have what we have, and we have destroyed the surface of the planet, of the electrical magnetic energy lines and the grids called Grandmother's Spider Web of Life. So what Chief Seattle had once said in his famous speech of the ashes in there, there's a saying that says, what we do to the web of life, we'll do to ourselves. So what we're doing is destroying the web of life, the electrical magnetic energy lines called ley lines, which is Grandmother Spider's web of life. And that's what we have to repair in order to bring this wisdom to the whole world, that we will give this information and teach the whole world about this kind of wisdom into the environmental agencies, into every environmental place. And so, you know, a lot of people are hating Bush. We're not supposed to hate Bush. We're supposed to love Bush and thank him for teaching us all what we're not supposed to do. Not to have anger, not to have hatred, but to stay in peace and keep putting our great thoughts into prayers and saying, bless him, and we're to pray for people who are negative. They say, pray for our enemies, pray for the people who are bad, even those who hurt us. Pray for them for peace and not be angry at them and forgive them. And so we have to forgive Bush. We have to pray for him. And I praise him for teaching us all what we're not supposed to do, because he's putting pipelines up into Alaska. He's bombing, shaking the earth. And through their oil, they're destroying the earth, and through other corporations doing things. These are the messages that were to thank them. And the people at a certain point in time would come to the consciousness of saying, oh, this is what it is. Oh, okay, let's get the rightful, peaceful leaders, and these things would happen. Those are the prophecies.
Yeah, you're right. You can't blame George Bush. I mean, he's a man of conviction. He's been taught by his preachers, and he probably hasn't read his Bible much. But, you know, I was talking with Ed McGaugh here on an interview here a few weeks ago, and we were going over Bible verses, and he was saying, you know, he says, you know, he says they believe this Bible, and he says the Bible believes, you know, that gives them the idea that they can put their neck on the, or put their foot on the neck of nature. And I said, well, not actually. And I pointed out a scripture in the Book of Revelation that says that the time would come, you know, to kill those who are killing the earth. You know, so that's and it's, you know, it's just. If people would read the scriptures and learn to think for themselves rather than reading books that are written by people that tell you how to interpret scripture, you know, we'd all get along a little bit better, I think. So,
well,
anyway, sorry to interrupt.
Well, that's what we believe also, that the Bible doesn't have all the information in it, and it's only like it's a history book, but people put all their faith in there. Well, if the rest of the information was in there, what I'm talking about, that we as Native Americans, indigenous peoples around the world, understand this wisdom that we have for the earth, then why isn't it in the Bible? Why is it a riddle in there that everyone has to argue over what's right or wrong? Why wasn't it put in there in simple language saying what I'm saying today, that this is how the earth works? Why isn't it put in there like that? Well, there's the one reason. It says that is a text that brings about a man. People came and put that into effect, put people into slavery to allow them to do what Bush is doing and using religion as a way to control people, to put them into the workforce to destroy the earth. And it's the religions who are destroying the earth, because they are the workforce who are the miners, the developers, the engineers, the scientists, and they're all into religion. But what are they doing? They're destroying the earth. And so the people go right back to work during the week, then they go to church. But they don't understand how the earth works, why the soil is important, the water, the trees, all that. That's what gives us our life. And they're destroying it, just like Bush. And they're saying that they're good people, and in the Bible. And so they believe Jesus Christ was the God of all things. Well, it wasn't Jesus Christ. There were many teachers who came to the earth to give us this information of staying in peace. And he was only just the one man who was manifested here to bring peace and wisdom, but people turned him into some powerful, like he's the God of all gods, when he wasn't. And so they have a hard time with that, so they go into theology and they argue over all this stuff. And if that is true, then why isn't that information bringing peace to the world? Well, it says that something's missing, and it's common sense, and wake up, something's wrong here. What's wrong? What's missing? Something's missing. So the Native Americans say, this is what's missing. So the Native Americans have been trying to give them that message ever since they came onto the shores of the Turtle Island here, of all of the cultures. But the thing is, the Native Americans or the indigenous nations were warring long before they arrived here, for a long time. And they were told, too, to come back into peace.
That's
and
right.
They did. Then here come the other cultures, and they were told to stay in peace, too, but they didn't listen. So now it was put into motion that the Creator says, okay, let's stir them all up in a big pot, put them together, and let them bicker and fight, and then the wisdom will come in again, and then they will all become brothers and sisters with the Native Americans and the indigenous nations, pulling them together of the wisdom of how the earth works, how peace is, what the stars are about, what the earth is about, the trees, the rocks, the rivers, the water, all things that we begin to be retrained and re-educated in that. So the messages and the dreams and visions are coming, and they're saying that there will be new education, new technology, new government, and new finance for the future, because we cannot afford, the earth cannot afford to go through the pain and the misery that she's in now, and she's not going to allow it, because she's going to take back her seeds, because she's on her moon time. With her emotional thing she's going through, she's going to cleanse it, and that's what she's doing. So it's called re-purification time at this point. So now through these many forms of things that's going on, it's like the solar flares are coming to the earth, and the messages are again saying, when we're in low thought form, we're in low vibration. The vibration is rising higher on the earth. And what we have been doing now for thousands of years, we've been in the cave of the bear, in chaos and chaotic times. And now we passed that period, and we're coming out of the cave of the bear, the darkness, and crossing into a new time period, into the sun. And so now we've crossed over this fine line and came out of the dark side of the sun, and are on the bright side of the sun now. And so now, if people notice, the sun is so bright, it's brighter than it has ever been before. So that means bright, white energy, light, electrical energy is bombarding upon us. And that means we'll be inspired inside us to be more energetic. Our thoughts will race faster. Our cleansing in our body, we're going through illnesses are coming to the surface because of the vibration of the rest of the planets in harmony. There's 13 planets revolving around the sun. And then there's one that's not in harmony, and it's vibrating like crazy and out of balance. And which one is it? It's Earth. Why is it out of balance? Because of the people's thought forms of anger, hatred, war, jealousy, pain, rape, murder, so on and so forth. And they forgot the original instructions. They were to stay in great thought forms with their minds, because the electrical energy that we get is in our thoughts, in our head. And I can project my thoughts across the street at someone with anger, and I could hit them, and I could knock them over, and they could feel it. If 20 and 30 and 40 people had those thoughts and pinpointed it towards one person, they could kill them.
Well, we got to take a little break here, and we'll be right back.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
Okay, we're back. We'll continue talking. So tell us some more. Just to give you some idea, this is one of the more fascinating interviews we've done, because you've probably done more directly with the prophecies and more recently than anybody we've interviewed so far. Give you a little bit of background. The White Roots of Peace Council was founded back in the 50s and 60s and kind of went dormant for some time. And about the same time we
Well, I started up this website in 96, and I guess Spiritual Elders got started sometime in 93, about the same time or shortly before we started this show up. And John Red Hat tried to put me in touch with Grandfather Leon Sacatero, but he had, in fact, I've got his telephone number sitting right here, but he has, I guess my weather bug going off, let me know we're going to have a frost here tonight. Anyway, he had, Grandfather Leon had had a tragedy in his family at that time, and we never have connected. But John Red Hat went to their gathering, I guess it was back in 2000 or 2001, and he said they were kind of disappointed that there weren't more people in attendance. And so it really indicated to John that there had been people were losing interest in the prophecies, and he had been he had started attending the old White Roots of Peace Council meetings long time ago, and he was raised in the Cherokee religion and born back in the 30s, and so he could see a big difference. And but anyway, I've talked enough. Go ahead and continue on, if you would, please.
Okay, well, you know, I was talking about the solar flares coming from the sun and where electrical magnetic energy and the vibration of the planets is 13 tones. And so anyone who's in low vibration, the Earth is going to go into a certain tone and a vibration between 11 and 13 now. And to the different dimensions as talked about, there's those different levels of tone from... In right now we're in, say, 11 or so, and we're going towards 13. And with our thoughts, the messages are anyone who has anger and hatred in their body, their organs will turn to decay, which means diabetes, cancers, tumors, like cysts of the ovaries, cysts of the breast, brain tumors, heart attacks, because the brain snaps, and something happens there, and then we have a heart attack. And so the electrical energy coming in is, if we're in low thought forms, that means if we're in anger, hatred, jealousy, lying, conniving, warring, fighting each other, that's low vibration. When the sun comes in, it enhances those thoughts to raise 5 and 10 times stronger. That means the organs will decay 10 times stronger, the mind will react 10 times stronger to negativity. That means they'll war faster. So that means anyone who goes to war, their organs will disintegrate. And anyone who goes carrying weapons into certain areas or using chemical warfare or radiation or atomic weapons that has that stuff in it that decays the body, the radiation, will come back and be polluted. And these are the prophecies that anyone who does this, they will fall to the earth and they will be no more. They will leave the planet. So these are the prophecies. Anyone who will do this now will be taken out by Mother Earth and by the Grandfather Creator, by her Father, with the energy from the central sun. Is the sun itself that gives us the life to live on the earth, Mother Earth. Without Mother Earth, we couldn't survive. We couldn't survive without the sun. So these things work for us. And this is what we understand as indigenous nations around the world, as Native Americans and other cultures. So through the coming together of the five fingers of the hand, of the prophecies that says that South America and North America, the Condor people and the Eagle people, will come together and talk about these prophecies and talk about the universal consciousness of how things work, our thoughts. We will come to the earth and we're told to stay in harmony and peace and enjoy a beautiful earth, to enjoy heaven here. Heaven is not up there. People project themselves that heaven is way out there. Well, it's not there. Heaven is here. When we go leave our body, our spark goes back to the central sun and then goes back to the star systems where we're waiting to come back to the earth again. But this is heaven here. We came here to enjoy flesh and blood, to enjoy the trees, the water, the rocks, each other in a heavenly place. So we got to come here in flesh and bone. And now we're destroying this beautiful place because of our thoughts. And we're told never to make something up that was not to be, because we could make things real that weren't real. In other words, anger and hatred was not real. It was an illusion to have an angry thought, because anger and these things and rationalizing would cause us to make things real that would cause us destruction and terror and turmoil in our lives if we did these things, and that's exactly what happened. So we're told to control our thoughts because we could make anything we wanted to make because our mind was so powerful, because it was full of electrical magnetic energy that the universe is made out of. The substance of God, the Creator, creation itself is that energy. Is God is everywhere. Creator is everywhere. It's in the trees. It's in the rocks. It's in the animals. It's in the plants. It's in the water. It's in the wind. It's in the oxygen. It's in everything. It's that electrical magnetic energy that we are made of. And that electrical magnetic energy is in our minds. So we could project our thoughts around the world and heal someone. And this is what a lot of healers do today, is because of thoughts that go and clear and clean someone of negativity or illness or sickness. So through the things that came, now the darkness came upon us and we fell into bad thought forms because of what happened in history through the teachings of these things that came and took us out of the truth. And now we're stuck into the philosophies of today that takes us from understanding how powerful we are as humans. And that's what we were told, not to make things up that aren't real. So today we're pointing fingers at each other on reservations. We haven't relieved ourselves of anger and hatred. So it's the same thing that's going on in Red Lake, Minnesota right now. I went to Minnesota a few weeks ago. I came back on the 19th, and the reservation was closed down and only open to people who were enrolled or people working there. So what happened was this young man, because of all what's happened, because of thought forms, we're imaged by everything that we see and do, so that vibrates in our body. So a person who goes to war comes back with a post-traumatic syndrome, like Vietnam, and they've seen people die or they killed people. So that vibration, they saw that imaged in their mind, and it plays over and over and over. So within our indigenous nations, before anyone would go to war in the past, we had a ceremony and allowed death to come and to walk with them, to go over there, to protect whatever we were doing in the time periods of this war, protecting ourselves. But now the people are going to war and coming back and not having these ceremonies. When they come back, they have this vibration in their cells. So what we would do would vibrate with drum and sound vibration and to take that dark entity, that spirit, out of them so that wouldn't replay over and over in their minds and their cells, and then it would be relieved and they wouldn't have that. So when these warriors went to war, they had a ceremony that cleansed them, because when they came home, they couldn't touch their wives or children or any of their relations, because they would infect them with that vibration and sound in them, and the darkness would enter into the people, and they would become angry, hateful, warrioristic, and then it would spread like a virus to the tribe. And that's what's happening now, is that this virus, each and every being now that goes to war and they come in touch with, is that. And also, with these people who are coming back from Vietnam with Agent Storm, and now over in the war zone now, is they're infecting their women. When they're having sexuality, their children are being born with defects and deformities and so on and so forth. And then those people coming back are dying from cancer. So why is it? Because the prophecy that said anyone who war, go to war, will be destroyed and will not be allowed to be on the earth. So anyone who do these things will hurt themselves and their families. And it would bring an awareness and a perspective that we needed to stay in peace. And the Bible says, the meek shall inherit the earth. And so it's written in many texts that we were to stay in peace, and towards a time of repurification would come. And I hope you say, at this time, we are the people we've been waiting for to protect all of us, to save ourselves by understanding Mother Earth and the Creator, who has given us great messages and dreams and visions. So many of us of the white cultures are getting dreams from the indigenous peoples of the past, and some of the Native Americans are upset because how can they be getting visions and dreams from these Native American peoples, and they're not. Well, the Native Americans are angry and hateful and pissed off, so therefore they lock themselves down and they're not going to get any visions, while the white man in the past destroyed the earth in certain areas. Now the other white men that are here or trying to help them and ask them to forgive them, and they're getting the dreams and the visions from the indigenous nations' spirits, and so on and so forth. And all the cultures are getting dreams and visions. Why is this happening? So that we would respect one another and know that we're in love with one another and have respect for one another, and we would come into peace. But the indigenous nations cannot forgive a lot of them cannot forgive what has happened,
yep.
and they won't let it go because they're still pointing fingers at the Europeans.
Well, they ought to be pointing. I'll be pointing fingers at themselves. See, such a disservice was done, and I'll point a finger at some people in AIM because we have a generation now for the last 40 years that's grown up. They've been taught that we had some kind of a Garden of Eden here before the white man came, and that's simply not true. Before we started warring with each other, we had a Garden of Eden. But, we started warring against each other, and, as they say in the vernacular, all the bets were off. We had divine protection. We had the very same teachings, were given to white Europeans, and they lived the same kind of lifestyle for at least 50 years after Jesus died. And there are accounts that about 260 years here in the Americas after Jesus visited over here, that they lived all things common, that there never was a happier people on the face of the earth until none of them considered themselves equals. They didn't consider any property to be private, and they shared everything equally. But when a few people started thinking they were better, then things fell apart over another couple generations. And Edgar Casey said that this kind of communism that Jesus taught, which is not the kind of communism they have in Russia, but he says that this is what we need to live. The Urantia book says this is what we need to do. This is the utopian system that we were intended to live with. This thing called all things common, and when the white people got here, they wondered. They knew there were Indians around, but they wondered where they disappeared. Well, they were being divinely hidden. There's all kinds of stories and all kinds of cultures about how they could be hidden in plain sight, and it was because they were living certain laws that were higher than the laws of the people that were coming to invade, and they qualified for divine protection. And, people come to my website, and I'm sure they think I'm crazy, but all I got to do is read their own Bible. But anyway, go ahead. I've preached enough.
Well, in the past, there are so many different entities that they said that this man walked the Americas, and this man did walk the Americas, but he came in different forms and different, looked different. But he wasn't looked the same as Jesus, they say, but this man came who was a peacemaker. And so through the Iroquois Confederacy, we talked about what happened there with them. And so this man called Hiawatha had these teachings. And through all of the things that was in the Iroquois Confederacy, that there was many stories of these many different individuals who were named in there that they followed a vision and a dream and spirituality to bring the people who were warring into peace underneath the Tree of Peace, so that the eagle could fly above the Tree of Peace. Now the trees that we have today are the Sundances, and it's a cottonwood tree for us over here, but many trees of peace. So these trees hold electrical magnetic energy on the earth. They came here to help us. So a tree holds 300 to 1,000 gallons of water, and water holds electrical energy. When the roots are in the earth, and the electrical energy is in the earth, and it's great there, that tree holds electrical energy, and it's holding the vibration of electrical energy and energizing us. So the tree keeps us in peace because it's full of water and vibrates love and caring relationships, and it gives us everything we could ever need. It gives us shade, gives us wood, and many other types of things for us to use to keep us balanced. And the tree, if all the trees left the planet, we wouldn't have oxygen. So the trees are very important. They are the tree of life, the tree of peace. And many people forgot the importance. And so the trees are being destroyed everywhere. So at this tree of peace we use in our sun dances, like where I'm at in Wyoming and around Wyoming, in South Dakota, North Dakota, Nevada, Colorado, Utah, Idaho, our Shoshone nations, we have a sun dance, and at our Tree of Peace, we dance and understand the tree as that. And the messages would come from the Tree of Peace, and then around the Tree of Peace, there are certain light poles that represent the teachers, 13 teachers, for instance, for my beliefs. And those teachers were the 13, and Jesus Christ was one of them, and so was the Buddha, and so was others in South America, Quetzalcoatl.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were 13 teachers that spread messages around the world that was sent in and manifested by the Creator, God, through Mother Earth, to give us great teachings and wisdoms. But most of this got convoluted and was taken out, but within us, in our knowledges, we call these the Thunderbirds. And those 13 Thunderbirds are 13 colors, and those 13 colors are those 13 entities that came with wisdom of knowledge, and each one taught about love, one taught about artistry, another one talked about peace, harmony, and law. And each one of those had a wisdom, and it was taught. But now those 13 teachers have been separated and are not into oneness again, and so everyone believes in Jesus Christ was the only one when he wasn't. This is our belief as Shoshones.
He never said who he was when he came. And there are records of even among the whites of people other than Jesus that came. You know, I wouldn't dream to you know, to say that he was the only person that was over here. I mean, Jesus himself sent, you know, the 12 that he was teaching out, and he said don't go to these, they rejected us. He says go to the ones that are lost all over the world. You know, he was the one that he sent them out to. So.
There was, so we had the same thing, similar, but it was by another teacher who was bringing the same messages. And so it came to the Iroquois Confederacy, and then it was spread. Many of the tribes went to that. Then we had the ghost dance phenomenon that took place with Wavuka. Well, Wavuka's father, before them, was doing these dances way before. Wavuka brought it out, but they were doing it long before. It wasn't only started then. It was way before. And then it turned into turmoil because it turned into war. And turned into many forms of things.
Yeah,
I don't want to go into in depth in that, or I'll be persecuted by saying that this dance turned into be a war dance when it was to be a peace dance, and then things happened towards the end, and massacres took place, and so on and so forth, because of war and not staying in peace. And if we did go towards war, we would be destroyed constantly.
Believe it or not, we got to take another break, and but we'll be right back, folks.
We'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
Okay, folks, we're back here. We were talking about this. You know, there's a lot of things that are really kind of considered sacred in a native world. And, you know, it's tough to point out that sometimes that we've forgotten so much of our original ways. And I like to point out that the Cherokees have always taught that any negative thought was witchcraft. I mean, it was that I used to work at Boys Town, Benny. I used to be a house parent, and they they taught us to keep a very, very low level of tolerance for bad behavior among the boys. And Native people used to have a very low tolerance for negative thoughts, and my people used to consider any negative thought as witchcraft, and witchcraft just is totally rebellion against Creator. So now we have so much resentment among some people that they've just totally forgot what it was all about. So they have to be retaught. And so go ahead and continue. Forgive me for interrupting.
Well, that was a good point that you brought out. And, you know, through the ghost dance, it turned into a war dance towards the end within certain tribes. And was
okay, yeah. We had a brief problem there. Yeah, so go ahead and continue, if you would, Benny.
And so we get back to thought forms. And so the Great Spirit is saying spoken truth is the only messages and wisdom that we would walk with, is speaking the truth in harmony and not word against word, because the words against word of two individuals, those two words would be negativity, and it would be like manifesting darkness towards each other, and it would cause war and separation of the family. So this is what has taken place on the indigenous lands here in the reservations and across the landscape of all of America, is those words are now spoken everywhere, and people have separated. Brothers don't like brothers, sisters hate sisters, aunties, uncles, grandfathers, etc., have separated themselves because of not understanding that the spoken truth was to speak in harmony and vibration and great sound and wisdom, and never go into a negative sentence or word to be spoken. Within the indigenous languages, those words are all of harmony, and English is a language that brings about the harshness, and so we were taught English, and so through that, there's words in there, if, and, yes, or, but, or consequences, and those are words that are never in the indigenous languages or languages around the world, for that matter, in every culture. So because of thought forms now, we can use English and really put things in perspective, and you got to read the fine print because you can be fooled into anything.
Yeah.
And speaking the truth, and that's kind of where we fail, is because of that. And then these things are made up. Oh, I could be a lawyer. I could make lots of money. And then somebody says, oh, I could be a scientist, I can invent this. And we're told never to do those things and go against nature's natural laws called universal law. So universal law says you can make things out of nothing, and you're not to make something up, because that is going against universal law, how things work. And if you do, it'll be on the negative side and not be in the positive side. So the negative thought forms will cause harm and hurt to all the people. So that's why we were told to stay in great thought forms, speak the truth, stay in harmony and sound and vibration, and that would give us love, and we could enjoy our gardens of Edens, the beautiful places in the beautiful places on the landscape of the earth. And that was all we were sent here to do, was to enjoy love and caring relationships, living in a beautiful manner upon Mother Earth, within the deserts, the valleys, the meadows, the seashores, everywhere. And the people got along with each other. When they came into other areas, other people lived, they always raised their hand. And why? Because that was the hand that they were the creators, and they came in, and that was a sign of peace, not a sign of how this, how that. It was a sign of a signature of they understood that they were gods and goddesses, and they could create anything they could with their hands, because their hands made either peace or war. And it was only for peace, and that's why the handprints are written in the rocks and the petroglyphs, and the hand is the hand of God. We are in the resemblance of God, the Creator, gods and goddesses, both. And so now we fail from those kinds of wisdoms and teachings. A lot of us, some are still hanging on to them within the indigenous nations and bringing great messages forward. I'm only just one of them, and bringing my visions and truth together and speaking about what I believe, and this is my perspective of as being an Eastern Shoshone, but these perspectives came from a foundation from my people here on the Wind River Indian Reservation, and my mother is from the Fort Duchesne, Utah, is the Uinta and Ora Reservation, and then also from Fort Hall, Idaho, which is a Shoshone Bannock. So I'm a mixture of those three groups of people, and then all the way down into California. And so the Shoshone Nation was a huge nation which speaks the same language that the Hopis speak. So the Hopis have 28 groups of tribes in them which speak the same language. So we came from out of the Mayan country and came forth with these wisdoms to talk about Mother Earth, to understand one another, and all of the tribal nations came from a certain place and time in history, and they all know these things. So now we're all sitting together wondering when we're going to come into peace and quit pointing fingers at each other and practicing the ceremonies of war. And so there are still ceremonies being practiced today of war. For instance, in certain areas in Utah, they scalp the top of the tree and they have veteran dances and send people to war. And now the messages are saying we are not to go to war and not do those things anymore. And so the messages have went out saying that this is not to take place. Anyone who will do that will be destroyed in those ceremonies. That means anger, hatred, and pain and suffering will come upon them because they're practicing war. And then it goes into other cultures who are still practicing this war for pain and suffering. Is it about pain and suffering, or is it about peace and harmony? Is it about spilling blood to the earth, or is it about spilling good words and harmony and peace to the earth and dancing in a powerful, peaceful way in our ceremonies and bringing great wisdom and clarity to one another for peace? Until these things can be understood, then some will have to be used as examples. And so when the vibration is coming from the solar flares now, those who have anger and hatred, their organs are going to disintegrate. And right now, there's going to be a lot of suicides. People who are already suicidal, when the solar flares come in, they haven't learned to forgive themselves and their minds and their thoughts because someone persecuted them when they were little and they are hurt and in pain because of the emotional stress that they incurred to them. And so if they can't heal from that, forgive the perpetrators or ask those others to forgive them and come into peace within their hearts and their mind and their spirit, they will be hit by that solar energy, electrical energy, and they will short circuit. So that means road rage, anger, heart attacks, viruses and sicknesses of cancer and other forms of illnesses will come upon them, and they will be taken from the planet because now it's repurification day and time is here. We don't have just this time saying we have next week or next year or I'll start doing this next year. The messages are that we would have to do this immediately because we are done past the 12th hour and we only have what's left for today. So now through these many informational systems that we're talking about is that our Creator within the sun is vibrating powerful energy towards us. And so through these powerful things that's happening on the earth now, all across the United States now, in the medical clinics where people are showing up in the emergency rooms and they're arriving in great numbers and they can't hardly take care of people. And even on the reservations, the clinics are so full, it's taken 4 and 5 hours to be able to get in to see the doctors. And when this energy snaps and all the rest of the people out there are going to flock into the emergency rooms and others, and this, because of the solar flares and man's negativity of being in the war mode of bad thought forms and not speaking what we were given to speak the truth and stay in harmony and peace is what we were to give that was given to us. In other words, we're not doing it. Those who won't do that will be those ones flocking over there to get more medications and this and that, and there'll be a mass confusion. And you can imagine what's going to take place. All the people are going to go crazy.
Yeah.
This is the prophecies, and it's already taking place now across the country, and it's already in the news. It's all around the world. And so we are in that time period now that if we do not begin to understand our thought forms and alleviate each other from our persecutions with our thoughts in every form and every way of the emotions that has went out of balance, as those ones will leave the planet. And that's basically the bottom line and the messages that I have to carry forward, and still working with the medicine world ceremonies so that I was given to help talk about thought forms, because of right now there's a powerful messenger out, his name is Dr. Moto, that shows that our thoughts go on the water and destroys the water if we're angry. So if we're up and down a river and we're fighting or drinking along the river, or someone gets murdered or raped, or that image is the trees, the water, anyone who will go there will get that image in their minds. They could turn into killers, rapists, and other things because now that message goes into them like post-traumatic stress of the war. And when they come back right now, those people who are in post-traumatic stress from Desert Storm have been killing their mates and have been killing people because of the thought forms that's still vibrating in their bodies, and that's about war and negativity, so it's continuing to kill the people, their families, their relations. And not only that, with their thoughts and physical forms that's hurting the people and murder and some rapes and different things taking place. It's also now in the genes, and their genes and their cells are polluted with chemicals and radiation, and now it's being, the kids are coming out deformed mentally, physically, in every way you can see, and it's already in the statistics, and those people have the cancers also, and so on and so forth. And the message were given to us to stay into peace and not do those things, and if we didn't, what would happen was exactly what's taking place now today. And for us to regroup and see these things and come back into wisdom and caring thoughts. And it would be up to the indigenous nations to come together in peace, to do the sacred sound with their vibration of using their sacred pipes, their sacred songs, their sacred words, their sacred prayers, to go to the rivers where it has been turned negative, and to the lands of the civil wars where the people are still vibrating there and people still see the ghosts still fighting in those areas. And we would have to go there and cleanse and clear the land. We'd have to go to the places where negativity took place, of anger and hatred and war, and we'd have to rebalance and re-cleanse and re-clear things. But the people could not do this until they came into peace and wisdom within their hearts and minds and spirits to reteach the white people, the black people, and the yellow people, and even their own red nations, the indigenous nations. They would have to regroup and remind them so that they could begin to remember to be in peace, and we'd all pull together. From South America to Central America to North America. And once they began to understand this and came into peace, then the whole world would come into peace. And the prophecies say, until the Native Americans or the indigenous nations in the Americas come into peace, there will be no peace for the world. And that's where we're at today. Until these Native American groups, tribes, and indigenous wake up to understand that we're brothers and sisters, there will be no peace on the earth. And right now we have to fight the government and fight the county governments and the state governments over sacred sites. And the messages are, we don't have to fight them. All we can do is educate them and go to our sacred sites and pray there and do what we're supposed to do and heal the earth and do this and do that. Because those who are going to be in anger and hatred and promoting war, the sun's going to hit them and take them out. And so that's all we got to do is have patience, do what we're supposed to do, stay in peace, because the Creator and Mother Earth is going to clean up those who don't want to stay in peace. So we only have two choices, either stay in peace or not. Those who want to stay in peace, is what they say in the Bible, the meek shall inherit the earth. And those are the many messages. And now we have the animals who are being persecuted, the water is being persecuted, and it's all being imaged, just like Dr. Emoto's messages from water. Those who don't understand Dr. Emoto's messages from water, he has websites on the internet for them to try to understand how thoughts work. It's all about thought forms. All forms of energy came to the earth. The trees are forms of energy. The rocks, the grass, the insects, the humans, every living entity that crawls, the insects, is made of electrical magnetic energy and has spirit. Everything has spirit. Is electrical magnetic energy is a spirit. Within us is that spirit. Once it short circuits, our heart disconnects and doesn't beat. And so in the land, the heartbeat leaves the same way it leaves the man has to, that has, or the woman has to have the electrical shock to put the heartbeat back into place. And so this is what we did with the 19 plus 1, the magnificent 19 plus 1 equals 20 medicine hole ceremony in the Grand Tetons that helped the volcano go to sleep and reconnected the electrical magnetic energy in there. And then the snow and the rain came back in from May of 2004 until now, and if you look at those mountains, they got more snow and more rain than ever, and that wheel is still spinning. And then it has pulled it in, and it's spreading across the country, and it's still working. And these are the messages. Now, in those 19 pie-shaped triangles of that medicine wheel, the tribal nations, white nations, black nations, and yellow nations were to come together and go back into those triangles where those sacred sites are and repair them and cleanse and clear all of the negativity in the trees and the rocks and all that. And that was the message. And to do that, and not to war with one another, but to set as brothers and sisters for peace, because Mother Earth has called her children together now, and those who don't understand this will be taken from the earth, and it's called repurification time. The suicides are up, the murders, the rapes, the killings, and the illnesses, and this is repurification time. And so since that time, we did another one down in Big Bear, California, Big Bear Lake, another medicine well ceremony. And and I was invited to do the talk because of the Grand Teton medicine well ceremony, Magnificent 19 plus 1. And there were 30 indigenous nations called from around the world to the Journey of the Heart organization there. And when we came, we were to talk about earth healing ceremonies. while I was there, I was approached by some community members who were of the European cultures and asked if if I could help them bring rain and snow and water back to the area. And I mentioned to them that if they would follow through my instructions of what I was given, how the earth works, and prepare the sacred sites, we could bring the water back and the trees would gather the water again, because the trees were breaking off right in the middle because the winds, they were so dry. And the animals and the bears and the mountain lions were coming out of the mountains now, and the mountain lions were stealing the children and the women off the trails and for food. And now the bears were coming down out of the mountains, and they were getting the food in the trash cans and even coming into the houses. And the prophecies say that the animals would come down and start eating the humans. And so that's part of the prophecy, too, the animals coming. And the humans forgot to understand how to cook, grow their own foods and plant medicines and those things. And now we have to depend on where we're at now because we don't understand plants. And when we disconnect the areas, the droughts come, all the plants die and the trees die, then what are we going to depend on to get our medicines? We're going to have to pay. Some of us can't pay. But anyway, so what they wanted was the fires in California had been burning and burning, and I've been studying that. So when I went there and studied where the fires went through, I seen the hillsides carved with roads, highways. Where the roads weren't is where the fires stopped, where the roads weren't developed in those mountains. And so they disconnected the electrical magnetic energy, destroyed the sacred sites, and did to themselves because they didn't understand what they were doing. And they still don't understand what they're doing, and it's not their fault. It's no one's fault. It's that the only thing is that they forgot was because of what's happened in history. It's no one's fault. But once they begin to remember, then they know, and no one points fingers at each other because it isn't anyone's fault. The fault lies amongst us forgetting, all of us, but it does no good to point fingers and give fault to anyone. All we need to do is remember and get over it and come back into peace, and those are the messages. So when they followed my instructions in Big Bear now in November, I told them if they could get some funding for me to come back and help me survive there for a month, go to the sacred sites and gas money and food and places to stay in that, then we could repair those sacred sites. And so we had 8 sacred sites around this medicine well with one in the center. And so in October I came there and started the first ceremony and we went into Big Bear and reconnected the energy lines from the Grand Tetons to the other peaks to Mount Baldy, from Mount Whitney to Mount Baldy, and the energy lines reconnected the energies there. And I predicted to them again that the snow and the rains would come back in and hydrate the trees if we would do repair these places.
We got to take a little short break here, and we'll be right back, folks.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of wisefoods.org. Our native ancestors stored away lots of food in case of emergencies. Thousands of years of sad experience taught them to be prepared. The traditional Hopi stored food enough to last for 7 years. So did the early Mormons. Nowadays, everyone unwisely depends on supermarkets for their food supply, and few people know that there is only a 3-day supply of food in the American food supply chain. Now, should some disaster befall us that would cause the big trucks like I used to drive to cease delivering our food, you'd be in big trouble. It is for these reasons that my family purchased a year's supply of 3 different breakfast and 10 delicious dinner entrees from wisefoods.org. These foods are freeze-dried right at the field where they are picked and processed and are fresher and more nutritious than any supermarket food. You just add hot water, and they're good for 25 years being stored. A year supply from wisefoods.org fits in an area about 4.5 feet by 4 feet by 18 inches. I can literally get it all in the back seat area of my Honda Civic. If you stay at home, you won't need to go to a FEMA refugee center should some disaster happen. Did you know that David Ramsey, David Gallagher, Laura Ingram, and Michael Medved have also invested in Wise Foods? Why don't you visit wisefoods.org today and see why?
Okay, folks, we're back. Yeah, I was telling Benny while we were off the air there for a second. I guess I forgot to tell him that back in 98, Creator woke me up and one morning in March and told me that to write this down,
But the voice said that 2005 was going to be known as the year of the great havoc because the weather was going to become so bad. And it may possibly interfere with computers all over the world. Well, when I was watching this, these programs about Yellowstone, I suddenly realized that if that volcano did go off, that it would fulfill a lot of prophecies, Native prophecies and white prophecies and Mormon prophecies, concerning migrations and Native prophecy, concerning the sky turning red. It was the only single event that would fulfill a lot of obscure prophecies. And I certainly hope that we've headed this off. I know the weather really has been crazy in the Intermountain area. I got a phone call from a talk show host in southern Idaho because he'd been on my website and seen the prediction about 2005. And, you and I both know that the weather's been crazy. They had the worst winter in 100 years in Europe. And it's going to be crazy. The tornado season's probably going to get really weird this year. They were saying that the Gulf Stream shut down. The Gulf Stream is what keeps Great Britain warm and habitable. And excuse me. But so go ahead and continue. Go ahead.
Well, I had mentioned earlier about these vibration and sound, and I mentioned the Caspian Sea and the Caspian Sea. Around the Caspian Sea, I was mentioning the development. There's oil wells in the water. There's mining, and around the Caspian Sea is Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, those countries. So the war of vibration of the bombs dropping there sends the vibration straight through and hit Yellowstone and sealed the cracks also. So what's affecting one side of the earth happens on the other side. So if I cut one of my hands off, it affects the other hand. It has to work twice as hard. So when one happens, something happens on the other side of the earth that affects the other side, the exact coordinates of the opposite, and it has to work extra hard or something will happen there. And so when vibration takes place, the earth has to shift and shake in order to put itself into balance. So we wonder why there's so many earthquakes going on in Iran and Iraq and in that country. And now we know the bombing is causing the earthquakes. That's what we know as indigenous peoples, some of us, and giving the information out that because of vibration and sound is causing the problems on the earth and taking it out of balance. And the rest of the planets are vibrating in harmony. So it's like a Barbatech quartet. If there's 13 of them singing 13 tones and one of them gets out of harmony, then they get flung out and they won't be able to sing with them. Every time they go in, they try to sing, that vibration isn't allowed there, so it'll knock them out. And eventually that person will quit singing or it'll disappear. So that sound is taking place. Of those 13 planets, there's one that's not vibrating in harmony, and it's Earth, because of the sound that's taking place on the planet with vehicles, roads, highways, bombing, ships, railroads, you name it. And so it's trying to come into balance, and so we're doing the best we can. But now the earth is really going to be under some impressions by the electromagnetic energy and by the vibration coming toward the earth from the rest of the planets. And it's being bombarded towards us, and this energy is being directed towards the earth for it to come back into balance. And anything that doesn't come into balance has to leave the earth. And this is what's taking place and the things I talked about. So now I was talking about the Big Bear Medicine Hole ceremony. So when the people invited me to do the same thing, what I had talked about during May 8th of 2004, now they asked me to come in September to do the talk there. And these people came from Big Bear and asked me if I could help with the trees. And at that area we were at in Alpine Valley, had a medicine wheel over there, an ancient one, and the spirits had left a message saying it was over 2,000 years old. So we went up there and did some prayers, repaired that area, and then it rained for 3 days.
Oh, my gosh.
And the scientists and the meteorologists were wondering, there was nothing forecasted for rain, but it rained. Well, why did it rain? Because we understand Mother Earth, we understand knowledge and wisdom of nature, and that's all. It's just like a professor in college. We understand these things, and we're trying to give the wisdom now. There'll be no secrets held back. Anyone who says they have secrets of the earth and doesn't want to give it out does not love Mother Earth, because they're in jealousy and pettiness and are scared. And at this time, the prophecy said we will bring bring out all information on how the earth works of all the indigenous nations. And all of us were once indigenous to all of the lands, but now we're everywhere and mixed up as a groups of people. But we still have information and we work together with all of our dreams and visions.
Now, do you know the Bible says the same thing? In the time of the end, that this would be the restitution of all things as spoken of by all the mouths of all the holy prophets, and that everything that was kept secret from the foundation of the world would be revealed. So there, you're not. If Christians aren't listening, it's because they're very frankly ignorant.
Well, they're in fear and scared that something they're following has been a false doctrine, and they don't want to accept that. But they will see this in the future, that more information is going to come out, and when they see that, they're going to go, oh, my God, you know, I've been following all this, and I've been fooled for all these years.
Yep.
And then something like this is going to be so powerful that when this information comes, it's not for them to go into to start feeling sad. It's to come up with awareness now and just move on over and join with the truth of how the earth works, the universe, and those things, and begin to know the truth. And that's what they would have to follow through with. But they're not ready for it yet until the more information comes out of the sacred text that will be coming out of the earth soon. It's the dreams and the visions that these things will be found.
Whoa. Back up here. You said sacred texts that will be coming out of the earth soon.
Yes.
Hmm.
More information of the texts that are missing from the Bible and other places around the world of these things that were put into hiding because of the darkness that came upon the earth, of the manipulation of war and fighting and those things that took the true peoples out of control of the earth that were working in harmony. They've hid those things because of the conquerors were trying to burn all the books and get rid of all that information. A lot of them was hidden in certain places, and at this time those things would be found, along with the people who are having dreams and visions similar to myself and others, would add to the information, and then the people would see the real truth. And this is what's going to be coming for soon. So we're not to get excited and feel in fear and anger, because the Creator loves us, and so does Mother, and she doesn't want to hurt us. But if we follow through with the directions that we're told to cure each other in our illnesses and to cure the earth of her sicknesses, because we did these things, we can clean up the radiation dumps, we can clean up the pollution. If we can stop volcanoes with prayers and thoughts, what can we do to the rest of nature with setting in sacred thoughts and peace? Those are the messages. And when we did this in Big Bear, was another thing, and the water came back in. And so on that, a few days, in October 26th, I believe it was, 4 feet of snow came on the first ceremony when we started the Big Bear Medicine Well ceremony, and the ski resorts opened 1 month early.
Oh, they loved you.
and they didn't believe that this could happen because of the prayers. So we were setting up there doing a ceremony, and the spirals came on the lake, and the wind was whipping, and people was wondering what was going on, because we began to do the prayers and calling the holy ones and the spirits to come help, and they did, and it snowed, and that was to show the people that this was real now. So we continued now to do the rest of the medicine well ceremony. So on November 15th was the final day after we repaired all those places in that circle, many weeks of traveling now. So we did the final one from 4 o'clock in the morning to 12 noon. And so there were many people sitting in the circle, some tribal nations, white people, black and yellow peoples, and all sitting in those areas. Not very many, because a lot of people didn't come forth either out of California that were indigenous, but they did come out, a lot of them, in certain areas and help. And so when that took place, it was done. So I mentioned that we needed to honor the ambassadors who sat on those 8 spokes and asked them to come together in Big Bear on November 20th of 2004. When they came that evening, I invited some of our brothers and sisters of the Aztec peoples, the Azteca dancers, and they came, and when they were getting ready to do the dancing, I asked them what their ceremony was about, and they said, this is just not an exhibition. This is about prayers and dance and giving offerings and prayers to Mother Earth. And I said, great, that's what I like to hear, that, because we're praying for water and rain and snow up here, and this is what we did. We repaired the areas, and this is why I called upon you, and talk about these things as you're doing your ceremony so people understand. So they did those things, and then just before dark, it started to snow and snow, and it snowed 4 and 5 feet deep that night again.
Jeez.
And the ski resorts are really happy. Now people are flocking all over to come into Big Bear. But then they began the tsunami came. I left in December 20th to study the area again to document what was taking place and all how this thing worked so I could do a documentary and try to get some things started. But I was told in my dreams and visions that there's some powerful people out there who have taken so much from the earth who have millions and millions of dollars would now turn around and give something back, and they would help support my work to do some of this stuff, but I haven't seen any of them come forward yet, and I'm waiting. But they will get in contact with me to come help me promote some of these wisdoms and knowledges with their financing and to do more traveling and talking to peoples around the United States and North America and South America to bring the wisdom together of the indigenous nations, because it's very hard for us to travel. So when I do talks, people give donations. And sometimes when I do talks, people say, well, we'll charge people so much money, and then what happens is the indigenous nations attack me and say that I'm not to do that. But these traditions and cultures that we have is causing dysfunction and causing a great harm to people like me. Before, we used to be given tobacco and certain other plants and medicines as doing our healing in the past, but today we can't. Our vehicles don't run on tobacco and food and this kind of stuff, and today we got to move forward. And so if we don't get some kind of financing and offerings or funding or doing some kind of work, then we get locked down and we can't go anywhere. So I was told that somewhere along the line someone would see the importance of this and help finance the work I'm doing and other individuals also down the road. But for me, it would come somewhere from out of California, they said, but I haven't seen it. And so now I'm locked down because I can't travel, because my job now is only to do what I'm doing and help and bring wisdom. So if I have a regular job, I get locked in one area and I can't move to help carry the prophecies and the dreams and the visions.
Right.
And so because of these medicine wheel ceremonies, it's not saying I, me, me, me. It was the we of all of the people. And I was only a messenger of a dream and a vision that helped allow the volcano to go to sleep in Yellowstone National Park, and also the Big Bear Medicine Well for the rain to come back into California. And, you know, so through these many things that's taken place is the people, love of Mother Earth, that took place because they came back together. And now gathering, there's many more people out there like myself who are having dreams and visions too, that they're to be doing certain things, and they can't get out of those things because they're locked down in their jobs and everyday lives, and they can't get out of it. Because they're kind of trapped in society where they can't get out because they're in fear of losing their house, their car, their vehicle because they don't have a job. And then in their jobs, they're into highway construction, development, mining. So they're supporting all that. And then they're told, well, if you leave this, you're going to lose your house. You lose your insurance. You'll take your car. We'll take your house. We'll do all these things to you. So they're kind of trapped into the system.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, there's so much information to talk about that I'm losing my voice today. And
yeah.
Wondering exactly what to say and speak about in a certain way, so I'm calling upon my ancestors to give me thoughts to help to bring some perspective to light to speak about this. And it's not to hurt anyone's feelings out there, and if I have hurt your feelings, I would ask them to forgive me, because this is what we were told to do, and not throw anger and hatred at me, but to look through these things in their hearts and their minds, to have an open mind, to understand the perspectives of what truth is and what truth isn't. And it doesn't make any difference who's right, who's wrong. The only difference is that we'd understand what we needed to do because of what's going on, because of our thought forms, that we were turning into dark places with our thoughts and hurting one another, doing black magic to each other, not really realizing how powerful our thoughts were until someone came up with some information to show them exactly how we're hurting each other with our negativity, and that means our thoughts, which is black magic when we get angry and hateful.
Well,
throw things at each other.
If you want to rest your voice for a minute, let me run something by you.
Sure.
Let me run a passage from a book of scripture that was addressed to the native people of this continent. And now this book of scripture, I'm reading from the original version. There's a lot of copies purporting to be this book, millions of a matter of fact, that have over 8,000 man-made changes in it. And the changes were so subtle, but very significant. And but anyway, you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess somebody picked up the phone. And You were talking a minute ago about something that was going to happen that was with the flares of the sun and so forth. Okay. Let me read you this. I'm looking for a place to start in here. Now let's see. It says that during this time, that there every nation would be against at war against the Creator. They would be turned one against another, and they would fall into the pit that they had dug to ensnare the Creator's people. This is, I'm paraphrasing now. It says that all that fought against Creator's people, who remember the original laws, would be destroyed, and that there would be a great organization that would sell itself for money, which they had perverted the right ways of these people. This was a great and actually a great and abominable church would stumble to the dust, and it would fall, and it would be a great fall. It says, "For behold, saith the prophet, the times come speedily when the adversaries of the created people would no more have power over the hearts of the children of men. For the day soon cometh that all the proud and they which do wickedly shall be as stubble." Now, I don't know if you've ever seen what happens when something gets burned, but it gets burned off in its stubble. And to continue, it says, "The day cometh that they must be burned. For the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of the Creator will be poured out among the children of men. For he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore, he will preserve the righteous by his power, even if it so be that the fullness of the Creator's wrath would come, and the righteous would be preserved even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. Wherefore the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if it so be as by fire." It says, "Behold, I say unto you that these things must surely come, yea, even blood and fire and vapor of smoke must come, and it must needs be upon the face of the earth, and it cometh unto men according to the flesh. And if it be that they will harden their hearts against Creator, that the righteous wouldn't perish, for the time would come that all those that fought against Creator's people would be cut off, and that the Creator would prepare a way for his people, and he would send a choice, a seer." Now, this is echoing one of the Six Nations prophets, that there would be a young man that would be sent out, and this would be about the time that the Indians would be released from the reservations. So this is a parallel prophecy with the prophecy that Madbury Anderson used to speak about. And anyway, it just goes on to say that this worldwide system would be destroyed by fire. Well, even if they exploded all the nuclear weapons in the world, how many did they say? One good volcano is equal to probably all the nuclear weapons that are in the U.S. arsenal. So it is kind of interesting. And this record I'm reading from, now I can tell you what it was, let people guess what it was, but this was a record that was found here in the Americas, was found in a stone box. It was written on metal plates. Now, Cherokee, we used to have metal plates. We had an ark, a wooden box, that had, I believe, 24 plates, and they were guarded day and night by guards that had special bows with special bronze-tipped arrows. And the Lenape snuck in somewhere, I think, I understand it was shortly, right around the time of European contact. And they took those plates. And we understand that bundle was taken, is now somewhere up in Canada now. But, you really piqued my interest a minute, when you spoke about the records that were going to be reveal later on. Well, let's take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
Okay, we're back. We were talking about black magic and anger and hate. And, you know, that area, you know, around Big Bear, that I used to work for the Boy Scouts of America back in the early 80s, and that was my service area up there. And it's a beautiful area, but they have experienced, you know, a lot of problems over on Big Bear and Lake Arrowhead. So after you did these ceremonies, then all of a sudden they get this huge amount of moisture being dropped. I wonder if anybody put two and two together, and or whether they're still going to stand back and think that the two events weren't related. What is it about some people that they worship science so much that if you can't prove it to them scientifically, that they just don't get it? That's why my parents told you to get out.
That's called college. That's called high school.
Yeah,
that's called theory. And it's called scientific proof, so everyone has that in their mind and it's distilled and they're programmed with that, so therefore they want to be proven about phenomenon or spirituality. Now, phenomenon and spirituality can be proved through the electromagnetic energy, and what I have is the proof to show how it works. And this is why I'm calling upon someone out there who has financing to come and help gather this information in Grand Tetons and in the Big Bear and about how the Earth works, and to bring this information forward so that this technology or this information and education be put in, implemented into the educational format of the colleges of the America, or the Americas, for instance, or the world. And this would take someone who understands this and would come in, and so we could get the experts who understand some of this and put them together and get a team and to show the proof of this, to bring it forth to the environmentalists who are saying, well, what's going on with the Earth? We got all this warming of the climates and all the things they talk about, what's going on. But they're all talking about what to do and this and that, but anything they do doesn't do any good. The only thing that has been doing any good is through how we as indigenous nations know how the Earth works and do that with their ceremonies, with their dreams, with their visions, and how the sound and vibration of the prayers works, because the earth listens, the wind listens, the trees listen, the rocks listen, and when they all listened, it got negative, and all that has to be cleaned up and cleared.
Yep.
So it goes back to all what I talked about and what I had been given through the messages of dreams and visions and studying rock art petroglyphs through my people, through my friends around me, and through all of the cultures is them. They're the ones who help me gather the information so that I could bring it forth. So if it wasn't for them, the message couldn't come forward. People say, you're always saying I. And I said, yes, it's the I, because I had to bring it forward for the we and this and that. It's not about me. It's about all of the individuals who are in sacred sound and vibration and harmony who are working together to bring the peace. And so I visited with many cultures around the country in the last 3 years to bring this awareness into the spiritual elders of Mother Earth. And Leon Secretaro, who's with the Navajo Nation, who is not enrolled in the Navajo Nation, he's a separate entity, and they're not federally recognized, is trying to help his people And so he's kind of that, he's the head man, so he helps work with his earth wisdom. And so they still do their earth healing ceremonies and work with rock art and picture cliffs and so on and so forth around other nations. And so the Hopis still have hold on to this, but they won't open and let any information out. But with the Navajos now over there who aren't federally recognized, but are Navajo, they want to help all cultures. So they opened it up and initiated white people, black people, yellow people, and other indigenous nations to be part of, initiated into their clan. And so they're, for me, they're part of the huge entity now of a group of people who are inviting cultures to learn and understand wisdom and knowledge of what they understand, or giving it to as many cultures who want to understand it.
So you're saying that the Canyoncito Band is not federally recognized?
No.
That's interesting, because I guess things have changed, because the last time I spoke with John Redhead about this, I believe it was about 2001, he said that they weren't even letting anybody attend their gatherings unless they had BIA cards.
No, it's not true.
Hmm.
It's open to white people being over there,
this
black
this
people
back
being
to
over
the,
to
like
the gatherings. And all of those people who are coming are not enrolled members. People who are into the spiritual elders of Mother Earth have to be enrolled into a tribal nation somehow, or involved with spirituality in that group, but not in the Canyoncito bunch of that.
Mm-hmm.
But within that organization, they want indigenous nations representatives to come out of those nations who are recognized as spiritual leaders, or recognized as leaders in the community that run ceremonies, so that they could bring a perspective and a knowledge and a wisdom to help send them out into their reservations to speak about prophecies. Or like on our Indian reservation and the Wind River Reservation, we don't have any of this information coming forth for them to even understand prophecies and visions. So on the Wind River Reservation of the Arapahos and Shoshones, they very seldom hear anything like this, and they don't even know that this energy of the sun and the prophecies, they've never heard of it before. So if they haven't heard of it here, they haven't heard of it in Fort Hall, Idaho with the Shoshone Bannock, and they sure haven't heard about it over there in Fort Duchesne, Utah, on the UNNRA, maybe a handful, but the rest of the people don't hear it. And so they don't really understand what's going on with the prophecies. It's a time period that we're all coming into peace, and so now the messages is going out, trying to get to those spiritual leaders of men and women both to come to listen, so they could go back and give messages to their people, so that they could begin to remember why we're here, because of thought forms. It's all about forms, the spirits say. Forms. Forms is all energy. It's all about light, energy. A thought is energy. The trees are energy. They have their own energy, a form of energy. The plants have a form of energy. The insects, the animals, everything. The rocks have a form of energy. They hold crystalline makeup. They hold information. Crystals hold information. The crystals are put in the computer on a CD disc and slid into the, like the computers, and then they're downloaded with how to program it, how to work. So it's all about informational systems of imprinting messages into things, and we're being imprinted with sound and vibration of words, so we can imprint the trees with our negativity, with our sound. We can imprint the rocks, the grasses, because we're told not to do this, and we did. When people go into those areas, those areas are programmed with negativity and war, and anyone who would go in there who is clear and clean in their cells would be imprinted of the sound and the vibration would go in them, and they would leave there with war or anger or hatred or rape or murder, whatever took place in the area. And this is what we're talking about as indigenous nations, people to begin to try to understand what is really going on and how the earth works and how universal law works. Universal law is that. Universal law. Man-made law has taken universal law out. And we have all these rules and regulations. And those rules and regulations teach us to have anger, hatred, jealousy, pain, and suffering. And the court systems, the lawyers, social programs, tax programs, so on and so forth. And so we're having a very hard time. But sure, we have to stay in peace and work with the best way we can. Because we're not trying to start a revolution. We're talking about peace. We're talking about coming into having peace coalitions and having wisdom of knowledge about how peace works and how thoughts work. And we have to understand these thought forms to have peace, because those thought forms are the original instructions that tells us how to stay in peace and not have the negative thoughts. But there are entities on us, spiritual entities, darkness, that we have to clear out of our bodies, and we have to have ceremonies to clear it off. then we can come into peace, because those negative things jump on us and get on us, and we, they have to be cleared off like an illness and a sickness, and those are dark spirits.
Do you ever wonder how the Japanese, after we totally destroyed their industry, came back within 15 or 20 years and pretty much surpassed our industrial base and our service base? You ever wonder how that happened?
Yeah.
Well, my dad was a professional engineer for about 50 years, and he told me about the story of an American man. I can't remember his name right now, but he said that he met this fellow one time, and that this American man taught the Japanese that if they stopped using an adversarial system, which is what they had and prior to World War II, and what the United States is still using, an adversarial system in management. He said that if you will open up your businesses to pretty much guarantee that people will have a job for life and give them a voice in how the companies run, he said you'd be successful beyond your wildest dreams. Well, for up until about 3-4 years ago, the Japanese have used this system. They completely rebuilt themselves using the concept of harmony, and they're starting to go back on it now a little bit, because this is what happens after a period of time when they have more or less all things common. Yes, they do have rich among them, and they're trying to change them. But for a long time now, Japanese industry worked with a harmonious system where everybody had a voice, and they're shooting themselves in the foot. But isn't it interesting that one American taught them how to do this, but he couldn't teach Americans how to do it?
Well, the world keeps going, and the information is there to teach us about universal law. Universal law was given to us in our thought forms, and to use our thought forms in great ways for peace and harmony, and not in negativity and anger and hate and war, or we'd manifest everything that we have that causes destruction. Weapons of mass destruction, weapons of words, weapons of everything we've used to go against each other would separate each and every one of us from each other, and the families would fall apart, and then the rich would rule the world.
Yeah,
because they're the ones who got control of everyone. And this is what's happening now. Everyone knows it. We can't do much about it because we're stuck in societies where if we don't do certain things, well, things can happen to us. We won't be able to pay for food because we've got to go to the supermarkets. We've got to go pay for pharmaceuticals. If we don't know how to grow those plants, if we don't know how to cultivate foods, grow foods, we have to depend on those things. And so, like I said, the bears and the mountain lions were going down now, where the people were once hunter and gatherers. Those people now, indigenous nations and other cultures, go into Albertsons, Smiths, so on and so forth, Walmart, and hunt and gather in the aisles. And now the animals were saying, oh, look, we got no more water or rain up here. We can't hunt and gather like we do. Let's go down and hunt and gather with them in the aisles of Albertsons and Walmart. And so that's what they were doing, because now if they can't eat the children and the women, the mountain lions and the bears, they will come down and raid the refrigerators and so on and so forth. Because who took the rain away? That makes the grass grow and the plants grow and the food for everyone. Who has done that? Everybody knows who's done that if they listen to this program today. And now that's the bottom line, and the thing is upon their hands and upon their shoulders, and each and every one has recognition to go through. And in the book of records it says that we will do service for Mother Earth, and whoever does good, it's like Santa Claus' list. He's checking it twice to see who's been naughty and nice. And now the time has come where the Creator is calling upon the sacred ones and the holy ones to come forward to give dreams and visions to us, the angelic beings, whatever people want to call them, just aim in one, and we're getting the messages the same way people got messages in the past, that they're hearing these voices, The ones who are hearing the voices are being put on Prozac and Zoloft locked down. The same has happened in Red Lake to this young man who murdered and killed many others. And so he is turmoil with saying that they're being brainwashed in school and so on and so forth. Now what's happening in the community over there is the people are pointing fingers at each other and saying it was their parents' fault for allowing their children to do this and do that. So what are they doing? They're poisoning each other with black magic, throwing thoughts, and attacking each other physically, mentally, and violently in Red Lake. And this is what's going on. And the messages are that they have fallen from the tree of peace, spoken truth, thought forms, and to regroup and understand it's no one's fault, but they would have to come back together in their ceremonies and their traditions and throw out all traditions that don't work. Gambling never was a tradition, for instance. Gambling steals from people. If they're gambling and they're making millions of dollars, who's losing those dollars and they're gathering and putting it into the programs? Well, that is not a tradition. It was a man-made tradition that was put in to say that they were doing that a long time ago, so that's not a tradition at all because it causes jealousy. Somebody wins all the time. The other ones get jealous, and then those go in there and try to win, lose all their money, and the other ones take it, and so they're being pillaged and raped and plundered of their monies, and then only the rich get it. Then the rest don't, and they keep going in and try it. They suffer pretty soon. They got mental illness. They don't have any money. They're sad. They're sorry. They're sick. That never was a tradition at all. And so the Creator is saying those things that people are calling traditions aren't, or following darkness, and that they need to understand this. So the tribal nations are following traditions that aren't traditions at all.
Yep.
And if they are traditions, then why aren't they working? And then the common sense is that they aren't traditions, and they will go back and follow suit to the original instructions that says universal law says only this will follow through. The traditions that they followed back in the past when there's no highways and roads and telephone lines and et cetera, electrical lines, at that time those ceremonies worked. They try to do those ceremonies at this time. They don't work. Why? Because we're in a new time period, and the new ceremonies have came up to help protect the earth and heal her and work with her, where they're trying to stay in the old that doesn't work in the new today. And that is what we would move on and forward with the new dreams and the visions coming, and the indigenous nations don't want to move into that because they say it's new age.
Yeah.
New. And this is where they're locked down. This is why they're suffering in many ways. And for these messages, I'm persecuted, but I was told in my dreams that to be strong, and those words would fall upon me, and they would hit me everywhere, but I would keep a shield around me, and I would be protected.
Well,
so these are the many messages.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Bluehour speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
That, you know, that probably is a good, you're probably getting tired, probably is a good place to leave it. You're welcome to come back on here anytime you want to get a message out as often as you like.
And okay, well, thank you so much and all what you're doing.
Well, yeah, you know, this we reach people out in California, so you never know. The thing we pray for all the time is that Creator will encourage the right person, you know, because, you know, it's like, you know, this broadcast
literally runs with the skin of its teeth every month, and we, you know, Creator steps in and, you know, has someone help us every month, you know, with 25 or 50 or whatever it takes, and so he can do the same thing for you. And, you know, we were told last October that we would have problems until April and that something good was going to happen in April. So it's April's not over with yet.
Well,
so,
put in a special prayer for you, too, to keep up your prophecy messages. And
we're going to be okay.
Others will do the same to help manifest what you need.
We're going
to
be okay, but it's time. There's opposition, always opposition in everything that's good. I mean, it's that law of duality that Native people talk about. For something going on that's good, there's somebody going to be somebody out there to try and counter it. Well, bless your heart, you've talked yourself raw, and we'll let you go rest. And appreciate you being on the show, Grandfather Benny. And do what you can. I'd like to try to get some of the other elders that you know. I know one was beaten very, very badly, and I hope he's getting better. He's associated with you and also with Manitaka.
Yes.
You know, sometimes, you know, doing this work carries a very, very high price.
Okay, well, thank you so much, and we're
You bet.
Asking all cultures to come together in peace, and there's no wrong need to come into balance and harmony and understanding great thought forms, and it's all about thoughts, because we manifest what we get, and if we don't be careful with our thoughts and our words, we can separate our families and separate cultures, and we have war. So the time is now to come back into peace, and as the Hopi said, we are the culture and the time period of all the people, that we are the people we've been waiting for. And we are, and we will inherit the earth, and those who don't want to stay here, who have bad thought forms, can plan on leaving right away.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, and be talking with you soon.
All right, well,
bye-bye.
This is Jasa Sagonie, a seventh great grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evenings and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. Listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing, and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Hey.
seeking.